Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that our quite something able. We're off the bag in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I am Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would
realize... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
He, King Shazir's the Terrible. All rise for King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions, just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look.
Yeah. Alright, hope you got your coffee, because we're going to jump right into it. Here we go. Listen to this real quick, if you don't mind.
As you can see, chaos at the Guatemala-Mexico border and immigration taking center stage in the national debate again, just in time for the midterm elections. Just one of the topics we talk about with the panel. Syndicated radio show host Chris Hahn making a special appearance on Justice Tonight. Senior advisor to Trump 2020 re-election, Katrina Pearson. All right, guys, you are familiar with the mob of illegal immigrants, illegal aliens, pushing through from Guatemala to Mexico against police and enforcement. And what we saw in those few seconds were virtually all men. Tell me, Chris, why these people should be allowed to enter in a mob of thousands into the United States?
Look, I am for controlled borders, as are most people on the left in this country. I think that the president had an opportunity last year when Schumer and Pelosi offered him DACA for the wall, and then he was talked out of it by McConnell and Ryan because they wanted this exact issue for this exact moment. They are more concerned about the election than solving the actual problem.
So your answer to these, listen, Chris, your answer to these illegals crossing and violently crossing, resisting law enforcement, all men, is because they're concerned about the Trump, Schumer, Mitch McConnell fight?
No. I'm saying that the reason why. Of course not. Unless they are seeking asylum legitimately or there's a reason for them to be here, and everybody agrees with that. They need to come here legally. And there needs to be a process. And there was goodwill by both the president, Leader Pelosi, and Leader Schumer, but Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan blocked it.
I don't want to talk politics tonight, Chris. I want to talk about this mob. Okay. Go ahead, Katrina.
Look, Judge, it was President Trump who nearly doubled the recipients he was willing to accept over Obama, but that's neither here nor there. And this really isn't just any mob. This is a column on the march carrying their own flag. This is an invasion. And I have to applaud the Mexican government for at least appearing to want to help with this situation, but let's not pretend this is organic. We're talking about men, thousands of men, only scattered with women and children for protection, who are actually marching across the border. This is another leftist-funded operation, fully flagged with several innocent victims, photo-ready outrage, designed to pull on the heartstrings of Americans, complete emotional attachment, only to distract from the rational analysis behind this. This is no more organic than Dr. Ford coming out in the 25th hour to try and have the left capitalize on getting rid of due process,
Katrina,
in this country. This is a $35 million project.
Katrina, if you want to go down the conspiracy theory hole about this, there's no way that Democrats in this country would have organized this at this point in the midterm election. This is perfectly pitched for the Republican base right now. This is exactly what you needed at this time to energize your base.
So you're going to tell me, Chris, that people who are
Katrina is suggesting that this is some conspiracy. I want to know what you know about the conspiracy, Katrina.
It costs $7,000 per head to bring these people. $7,000 per head to have these traffickers move these people throughout the southern hemisphere.
Yeah.
That is $35 million. How can impoverished people do this?
Conspiracy. You're talking about a conspiracy from basically what you said was Democrats organized this in Guatemala.
Somebody organized
so
it, Chris.
Lost
Chris, this
American Democrats, leftists.
All right, let me ask you this, Chris.
Should
they be stopped by the military at the border and turned around, and that whole mob, and unfortunately the mob thing seems to be a favorite of the left. Shouldn't they be turned around immediately? I don't even look at them. They're all men. All men. They just decide at some point they want to come to the United States all of a sudden, as opposed to last month, the month before.
I think all Americans believe in a secure border, and I think there needs to be order at that border, And I think that the president was offered order at the border by Democrats, and he rejected it because the Republicans wanted this issue at this time.
This is not about Donald Trump. He offered 1.8 million Dreamers citizenship.
Well, I believe in order at the border, and I will tell you, there has been less order at the border under this president than there was before.
All Americans clearly are not in support of secure borders because we have a Democrat Party in the United States that supports sanctuary cities. You can't have a secure border and sanctuary cities. That's kind of not how it works, Chris. We have to resolve the issue. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer had the perfect opportunity to resolve it, and they refused.
What there is people. What there is different times when people ask for documentation. What Katrina would have
to
do.
Are you out of your mind, Chris? Don't you dare say on this channel that there's no such thing as sanctuary.
Chris, please. That's what you want, Katrina.
You're not going to come here and spin lies. There are sanctuary cities, counties, and states in this country where illegal criminals are provided more protection than American citizens. And don't you come on this show and say that that's not the case. That's it.
Any American that runs into the law is asked for identification. These people, not so much. That is sanctuary, Chris.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Wow.
Wow is right. That guy's a noodle duh. Noodlehead. He says there's no such things as sanctuary cities.
Well, there is. Well, folks, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. How you like that for a wake-up call there? That's interesting. So, if you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, and don't forget to, if you're on the super chat room, you can scroll down and you can click on the People for People radio link, and don't forget to check out Wolf Spirit Radio as well. So we got a lot to talk about. World War III forever, big question mark, because watching this video series called Cold War, but it actually starts off with an initial video called World War II, The Warlords. It goes back in time and talks about all these different big leaders of the world that, did all the things that they did that led us into all the different conflicts, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam, and so on down the line. But there are really people in this world who basically, I don't know, for whatever purpose outside of trying to further an agenda, literally go out to try to destabilize nations. And they will actually go in and agitate or send agitators in or pay, different people almost like mercenaries to, crash the gates, so to speak. If you're watching now what's going on here at Guatemala border, Mexico's southern border, quite a lot of people coming down through there. And according to what Judge Jeanine was talking about and the other lady on there, it cost them about $7,000 a piece to get these people, shipped down there with traffickers and all that kind of stuff. But that's not the only point that's going on here. If you go back in time, and you look up all the different forms of government, the two main ones that you'll basically hear about, one be communist and the other be basically a democracy. Well, these folks have been for, it seems like decades, basically, fighting amongst each other, propagandizing each other. I mean, there were actually people who were, arrested and tried for treason, for being spies, Russian spies and American spies and all this kind of stuff. But the creepy thing that I'm trying to get to, and I'm really having trouble, I'm kind of struggling with how to actually put this out there on the table, is that it's really scary when you start to look at how you get this charismatic leader that starts to talk to everybody and starts to say things that they agree with. Maybe some things they don't agree with, but nonetheless, people when they find themselves in agreement with these charismatic leaders, like for example, communism itself. If you actually listen to the you know, the meaning of communist. There's a link I'll have to throw over there in the link. It's a Wikipedia article. It talks about different types of, you know, governmental systems and stuff like that. But, you know, even a democracy. Communism, you know, everybody's equal. You got one good, loving-hearted leader up there who basically makes sure that everybody's taken care of, and he uses that form of government to ensure that everybody, there's fairness across the board. It sounds really good in theory. Just like democracy, you know, where everybody gets a vote. Sounds really good in theory. And, you know, when it comes down to it, if there is no corruption, maybe these forms of government probably would actually, you know, function. But history's shown that it doesn't usually play out like that. People, the scary thing that I'm trying to get to is that under the guise of this idea called communism, or even under the guise of this idea called, democracy, people will gather and they'll do terrible things to each other. You know, you could even go back as far as going back to, Salem witch trials and stuff like that. You know, under the guise of, specific religion or belief, people were manipulated into thinking, okay, this is okay to go out and harm people. And it's not. It doesn't matter which label you're under, whether it be a governmental system, a religious system, or any kind of system for that matter. It's never a good thing. But what I'm trying to get at is it's a scary ordeal when you see that how many people will actually gather en masse behind a cause and be blinded by that cause to the extent that they will actually go out and do terrible things to one another. I don't know if that makes any sense to anybody more than me, but it's really disturbing. And when you see this thing where they're coming down across the border like that, I would love to live in a world where we actually didn't have any borders. That'd be really nice. I mean, it sounds really good in theory. I mean, I believe that this whole world should be shared by all of us. We should be able to go freely wherever we want to go. But unfortunately, because of the way that situations have unfolded, wars and rumors of wars and all the stuff that we've had to contend with throughout the histories of our nations together, I don't think we're there yet. I don't think that we can, allow thousands, if millions of people to come across the border unchecked because of that explanation. I've been trying to figure out the words to get out about how, people will gather under an ideology, such as, like groups like ISIS or, Al-Qaeda, whatever, the ones that they keep talking about for the whole so-called war on terror, terrorists. They're under some, holy war. Jihad is what they keep telling us. But when a group like this, becomes, dangerously entangled with some sort of ideology that says it's okay to go out and hurt somebody, and then, they're going to go in and destabilize the nation. George Soros out there is a really wealthy man. And according to the conspiracy, theories, facts, it's hard to say all this stuff, but he has spent a long time making lots of money by manipulating the system and knowing the system inside and out, and actually paying to destabilize nations. It seems like he's a really powerful guy to that extent that he can actually, start wars. And the banking system, the bankers out there, there's always, because of finance, there's always an agenda to either start a war to make some money, or even to the extent of when we're talking about a new world order, a one world government kind of deal. There's a term out there I suggest people look up. It's called the North American Union. It's, according to Wikipedia, it's a theoretical economic and political continental union of Canada, Mexico, United States, The concept is loosely based on the European Union, and not to mention the Asian Union, which basically takes this whole continent and makes it one place. You know, no borders in there. And same thing with the European Union and all that. But you see, if you've been keeping up on like the Brexit and all that kind of stuff, how that worked out over there, there's people wanting to leave the European Union. And but in theory, if everything was to work out, you know, financially, economic wise, and you could trust the people who was trying to put all this kind of stuff into place, and there wasn't any borders, and everybody was equal, it'd be a wonderful deal. But seems like, you know, with every monarchy or a hierarchy or kings and queens, political, whatever government, whichever one of the doggone forms of government you subscribe to, seems like, you know, in theory they might sound really good, but when it comes down to the leaders, it's of whether or not you can trust that they either A, weren't infiltrated. For example, during the Cold War, which is this this series that I've been watching, I'll probably put the a link to one of these videos in there so you can backtrack it to the other. But they were propagandizing the American people. At the same time, the Russians were propagandizing the Russian people. And because of whatever agenda, you know, there was a lot of people that were either accused rightfully or accused wrongly of being spies for the other side. You know, you were a communist, a part of the Communist Party, and all that kind of stuff. And those accusations, pretty much run amok through all both of these societies, but either way, you would get people turning each other in, and that crowd mentality of, how underneath one of these ideologies or governmental religions or systems of, I guess they're all like one and the same, basically, but the way that people would actually treat each other. You know, most people are good people. You know, during the time when Hitler was out running around doing all the stuff that he did, most people are good people. But for some reason, when that came down, there were good people that turned around and basically went along with it instead of standing up against it. And so with that said, this is a reason why this whole border issue is such an important issue. Because, like the one lady said, they were carrying the Guatemalan flag. It wasn't immigration, it was an invasion. And it just so happens that it comes around election time. Well, everybody who pays attention politically understands that the Democratic Party, they need all the votes that they can get, and most generally, those are the ones that's going to vote for them, is the immigrants that, you know, you invite them in, tell them you're going to take care of them, and everything sounds all hunky-dory and everything. But it usually doesn't play out in the way everybody thought it was going to. You know, sure, you've got to come to America. America's getting basically sold down the river by politicians every single day. And it's really kind of scary, because if they actually get what it is that they want, maybe they will get a one-world government. But will that one-world government actually be the one-world government they expected to get? You know, social justice and all that kind of stuff. What if this one-world government is a tyrannical one-world government? By that time, you've already, you know, given up all your rights and your sovereignty, and suddenly you find yourself in literally, quite literally, a hell. You know, some of the people who lived in the communist under certain leaders over there, they were afraid to speak out. Right now, I would probably be getting arrested if I was over there and I was saying the stuff that I'm saying right now. Anytime you question the government, then that basically shows that you don't have any kind of loyalty to that government, and that makes you an enemy of the state. And even to the extent that here in the United States, where we're supposed to have freedom of speech, you're noticing a lot more censorship because of this worldwide politically correctness and all that kind of stuff. You can't say certain things, and the Democratic Party and folks on that leftist side, liberal side, or whatever, probably even some on the opposite side of the spectrum as well, because we got to be fair about this whole deal, because we don't know who's behind the scenes pushing all the buttons. But either way, they don't want certain things said because they want to get their candidate elected. They want to get their, you know, people that's going to do their agenda, just like the reason why this whole doggone Supreme Court judge debacle went the way that it did. Because, obviously, if this guy is more conservative, then that throws the balance of power off on the Supreme Court. And that worries them because they got things that they want to be able to pass in the future. They got things that they've passed in the past that they want to keep in place. And they don't want anybody changing or taking away from their power, essentially. And they like larger government because the bigger the government, the more money and all that kind of stuff, more jobs, according to them. We're living in a strange time. We got people by the thousands wanting to come here, if not by the millions wanting to come here to the United States. And most average Joe out here is not against immigration whatsoever. But we're not in that utopia yet. We're not in that safe zone to where I feel like, you know, I can leave my front door open because everybody loves each other and they're going to take care of each other. So we got to proceed into the future with a little bit of wisdom, a little bit of common sense so that, you know, I want Russia to be Russia. I want China to be China and America to be America and Canada to be Canada and, you know, all the way down the line. I want those checks and balances of those borders, of those different countries and different cultures, because we're not at the point where I feel like we could actually have, you know, a one world system to where we all just get along. Because if you watch throughout history, some of the terrible atrocities that people have done to each other and under the guise of civilization, I mean, it's mind-blowing. There's many, many, many cultures out there that could tell you terrible stories of what was done to them throughout history. And it's not just here in America. We all know the history of America for the most part, you know, because they say that the victor writes the story more or less. But it's been in many nations. It's been in all nations that the people had to allowed terrible things to happen to one another. So I think we got to proceed with a little bit of wisdom. And Sean may very well take the old Trump putting the whole military down on the border to shut it all down. Because I had mentioned at one time, the very first thing that I would have done if I was president is I would have shut the border down. I would have locked this place down. I would have pulled all of our military all the way back from overseas. And I would have told the world, I said, look, America's got some serious problems. And we're getting ready to clean house. We're getting ready to shape up because we ain't got no reason casting no stones out there if we can't even control our own doggone problems. So I'd have straightened it out. But I probably would have got shot, too. So that's the way it usually goes if you don't follow the banker agenda. I probably wouldn't have made it past the first day, or maybe if I got lucky and I could duck enough times, I'd probably make it a week or two. Who knows? But either way, like I said, we're not living in the perfect world right now. And I don't want to see world war forever. I honestly don't. But it appears to me, from watching history repeat itself, and the way that governments propagandize the people, and the way that the people propagandize the people, the way that people feel so passionate about a specific political talking point, you know, say abortion, pro-life, all that kind of stuff, and how violent that they can become because the other side just won't agree with them, won't let them have their way or something like that. You know, even when to the extent of racial tensions, there's somebody behind the scenes stirring the pot all along. You know, it's not like a white man and a black man and a yellow man and all of us different color races can't just sit there and get along and have, you know, picnic together and just enjoy life. It's not like that. We're the average Joe usually has a good heart. It's just when people start to say there's a terrorist behind every bush, don't pick up that hitchhiker, he might kill you, you know, that kind of thing. That's the kind of divide and conquer tactic that these people have been using to manipulate we the people into wars after wars after wars, perpetual wars. World War III forever. Even if we ain't out there right now on the major battlefield, you gotta be honest with yourself, because we the people are fighting amongst each other just as bad as if we were out there doing it on the battlefield. And when it's time for them to come to get us to go fight their major wars, they do things like this. And when it's time to take down a country, George Soros and the folks like him that have the money to pay for agitators or protesters, they do it. The money men of the world are playing chess with the world. They play these big games with the world. And maybe somehow or another in their sick, twisted mind, they might think that the ends justify the means. But if you look at all the people that's been in, like, the gulag or concentration camps or, you know, re-education camps or whatever throughout the history of time, it was people that put them there. It was people that allowed a government to manipulate them using fear tactics and propaganda in order to push their agenda and get the people to do their bidding. And that's a shame. We're not ready to close. We're not ready to have open borders. As sad as that is, folks, we're not ready. Because the day we drop our guard and allow the people that haven't found a way to communicate from the heart, like most of us good folks figured out, you know, we can talk with love in our heart, and we can really visualize a day that we can all be judged by the content of our character, and, you know, or by our actions and stuff. And we can, you know, reach down and pull that goodness out of our heart and share it with the world. I believe that it's possible. I do still believe in the dream. But I'm just sad to say that we're just not there yet, unfortunately. So, hi, Barbara. You got any thoughts there?
Well, good morning, everybody out there in the world, this beautiful, sacred world, Mother Earth, all the big, all the peoples, black, red, yellow, and white, yeah. So, you know, I'm looking at this crazy thing at the border, yeah. I come to a different, you know, conclusion. At first, when Trump was starting to talk about, let's put up a border, 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 I was appalled. Well, you have a border to some degree. You wanted to make the border taller, bigger, and more solid. And I was appalled because then I had to put my head together. I had to really go do some research. Okay, what is really going on there? Because we just take things, you know, as they just come at us. You know, mainstream media, and then you have all the peoples themselves screaming and carrying on. You know, they have signs, we are a nation of immigrants, and we are, you know, open borders to people who need help, and all that sounds really good, and I'm on that, you know. But the fact is, the times are different here. We are a nation of immigrants, but these immigrants that are coming through en masse there at the border, as that speaker on Judge Jeanne's, you know, broadcast was talking about. If you look at the videos, you see there are major amounts of young men and very limited women and children. And they found some ISIS soldiers at that border and arrested them, by the way. ISIS, hello, people. And this is what President Trump is very well aware of. He's on top of this and knows what is happening and what the deep state, which includes Soros and another political party here that I'm not going to name, because I'm just, you know, I'm not going to do that. But it's like the opposing factions that really want to destroy this country and control this country and lead us to one world order and so on. And they've had their talons dug in deeply for centuries now, millennia, probably from the beginning, as we talked about. So it's a different time we're living. It's not like your grandma and your grandpa coming over here from Italy, you know, with their one bundle or their little suitcase, or somebody coming from Ireland, or whatever, wherever they're coming from. This is different. This is hordes of people, basically, who have an agenda. They're being pushed into this agenda, and they're being paid. They were paid. There's a video on that. You have to do your research. It's easy for that person who was on Judge Jeanie's show, that fella, I don't know who he was, but that man threw out a word that just basically puts duct tape on your mouth. And everybody goes, oh, yeah. And that word is conspiracy theory. And that's part of the psychological agenda, that one word, that psychological agenda, the way people are shut up immediately. They're shut down, they're shut up, they're deleted, and they're denied their perspective and their opinion, even their truth, because they're conspiracy theorists. And that's the game we're looking at here. Now, you have people screaming in the streets about, we are a nation of immigrants, and we want open borders, but they're missing a big piece here. The point is, yeah, let the people in, which is what we have, a law for basically a process that you go through to enter into this country. Not hordes of people rushing the border with their own nation's flag. That's what these people are saying. Let them in. They're immigrants. They need help. Open your eyes and see what is really going on. We want to be able to help people, of course. We all do. But you have to do this lawfully, because every country in the world has their immigration laws.
Yep.
Now, if there were hordes of Americans, thousands, by the way, there's over 4,000. Over 4,000 on the march. You all have brand new sneakers. Some of them even have the same shirts on. And so, they were paid to, here, go get some new sneakers because you're going to be on a long walk. As I said, there's the majority of young men. They're ripping down fences. They're hoarding towards our border. And the people here in the United States in the streets are screaming at the top of their lungs, we are a nation of immigrants, open borders. I don't get that.
They said in the chat room that saw where a guy was arrested at the bridge leading to a caravan from People Without Borders, Inc., out of California, I guess.
Well... We're in trouble because we have a faction of people here in the United States are basically being manipulated, mind controlled, to scream and let immigrants in illegally.
That's what I was trying to get to. Well, you see how those all these videos of how these liberal groups get together, Antifa, whatever, and how they act in order to try to force what they believe their agenda is on everybody else.
And then they show these films. Of course, this is all propaganda. They show the films of women and children or a little child crying at the border or whatever it is. And, of course, your heart goes, oh, my God, this is terrible. But you're not thinking logically. There's no critical thinking about this. There's just reactive, people are reacting through this psychological warfare. And screaming that Trump is Hitler, and this started, this was what happened in Germany and Nazism, and I mean, it's over the top. There's no critical thinking, so basically, there were some ISIS soldiers that were just arrested at that board within that mob of people. So you have the same thing. excuse me. You have the same thing that happened in Europe. That is now going downhill. Women can't even walk in the street.
Yeah.
Because they're being beaten up, raped, stabbed, murdered.
And the radical Islam, they were actually on mainstream media, and they were actually saying that their ultimate goal was one day that the Islamic flag would be flying over the White House. So
yes, well, they've got now, they're changing some of the laws in Europe to Sharia law.
Yeah.
And so there we are. What happens over there happens over here, because we are all connected on that level, and it's a wave of very dark stuff going on they're changing the basically the sovereignty of that country, of that nation, and that's their whole plan.
That's why I keep saying, because of things that's going on, you can see it, watch over what's happening over in Europe, these people are really getting fed up with it. You know, and there's other countries that just won't take any more immigrants.
Well, now they're putting it, now they're finally, after they're already invaded and inundated, how are you going to get all those masses of young men out there who are raping women and gangs roaming the streets? This is a city. I put up a video last week of a German woman. It was subtitled because she was speaking in German about what's happening in their village. She said, basically, you know, women can't go outside. They're told by the police, you can't, well, they say they want to go jogging. And this is real. A couple of women were out jogging, and they got attacked, raped, and beaten up. Well, yep. You know what the police said to them? Well, don't jog.
Well, see, here's the point that I'm trying, like, heck, to try to figure out a right way to say this, but it really isn't no kind of polite way to say it. This isn't your normal immigration that we're seeing going
on. No,
worldwide.
It's not normal.
This is a worldwide invasion.
Well, the people are told, oh, these are just poor people, you know, that need help. They're coming. But these people are well-dressed. They're not, like, coming from a place, you know, that is in that circumstance. Like, it's such a manipulation. And so here's the interesting thing I find. So you have these people that broke down. You watch this video. Masses of young men, pretty much, and interspersed with a few women and children, breaking down the border, okay? They just ripped this fence down and plowed through.
Yeah.
And so now they're getting into buses, by the way. It's not going to be no longer a march. Now the buses came. Who paid for these buses? Buses came, and all these people are getting on the bus. There was a plan that they were going to en masse at the border for our midterm election period of time, which is, you know, we're not quite there yet. But now they're being driven in buses. Now you have to look at what's going to happen. They're coming through Mexico. I don't know if you've ever been to Tijuana at that border, but it's quite secure. And so you have masses of people. They're going to come through into the Southwest, New Mexico, Texas, and all those southern states down there. They're going to spread out, and they're going to attack the borders, and they're going to rush through the borders, and they're going to start knocking on your door, and maybe not even knocking on your door. They're going to start opening your door because they need food, or they need water, or they need shelter, whatever it is. It's going to be a mass of over 4,000 people rushing that border. You're going to have people down there at Tijuana, the guards and the soldiers down there, which are the United States and Mexican police. What are they going to do? Well, they're going to start shooting at people.
Yeah.
Now you have our military that has been deployed to the border, over 4,000 troops, and I'm sure now they're going to
have deployed. Actually done that now?
Yes.
See, I missed
that.
Yeah,
that's already been done. You know, Trump is always...
I knew
Trump
they were talking about it, but I didn't know they had already done it.
Well, yeah, Trump is ahead of the game. He already deployed the... let me see, the military and the... what is your local soldiers called?
National Guard.
The National Guard, over 4,000. I've already been deployed down there to the southern border. Now, they're supposed to be at the border with only prevention weaponry. In other words, not
non-lethal stuff.
But you can bet with now this whole surge happening, and I think here's my point. What did Trump promise? One of the big promises that he spoke of.
He says he's going to secure the border.
Build that border. Now, he wants that border. Now, what better way of getting that border than having 4,000-plus surges of migrants coming through, people coming through illegally? What better way to alarm the people of the United States?
Well,
let's get that border up. When they start surging through that border and breaking down people's doors down there in Texas and New Mexico, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, here, you hit something that just... It blows my mind. The folks that want the open border right now, I don't think that they're looking at this the right way, because you know, there are, you know, factions out there in the world, such as the radical Islamic portion of the world, that they don't go in for gay rights. They don't go in for
different types of religion. Sharia law is. Yeah. Well, look, it's marrying and young girls.
Even atheism.
It's beheading people. It's stoning women who, whatever, show their ankle.
It doesn't matter what you believe. It matters what they believe. And if they believe that because that you're atheist or you're gay or you just don't, you're Christian or whatever, that you are the infidel. You're cattle, you know, to them. That's what their mindset is, according to what we've been told. Now, could this all been propaganda? I'm sure it could have. But you still got the reality that here in the United States, if people want to come here, we don't know who's coming across the border. Look what's happened over in Europe, that these folks have come over there. They weren't women and children refugees. They were, like you explained, they were fighting age men.
Gangs of men.
Yeah.
Now I saw photographs, pictures of people on the beach in, I don't know, where was it, Italy, France? Where boats, people are on the beach.
Yep.
On a day on the beach, boats of hundreds of young men landing their boats and coming up on the shore and taking off and running into the community. Where are these young men going to go? What are they going to do? They have nothing. They have no job. They have nothing. What are they going to do in that community?
They're going to go take what they need.
They're going to take what they need. They're going to infiltrate themselves into the community and start their stuff, whatever they do.
And that's what the whole worry back in the day was about communists. They were afraid that the communists were going to come over here and infiltrate the governments, which to some extent it really looks like they did. But
let's talk about communism because, you know, the whole thing, communism is a doctrine based on revolutionary Marxism, socialism, and Marxism-Leninism that was the official ideology of the USSR. So we have Marxism. We know who Karl Marx was. Do you know what he said? Quote, socialism leads to communism. That was his quote.
Well, yeah, it's all like a step. Even democracy, mob rules, you know, because...
But what it is, the communism is a system in which goods are owned in common and are available to all as needed. Well, that sounds good, but here's the other side. It is advocating elimination of private property. That's Agenda 21, Agenda 30.
Yep.
You know, a totalitarian system of government, which is one world order, in which a single authoritarian party controls state-owned means of production. They own everything. You will not own your house. You will not have property. Forget it. It's a final stage of society in Marxist theory in which the state has withered away the state and economic goods are distributed equitably. But it's also about you getting paid for your abilities to work. Okay, so if you can't work, you're not going to get what you need. It's basically separating the people who can and the people who cannot. So if you cannot, you get less than the others who can.
I'm going to post a Wikipedia link to the North American Union because people, you really just kind of need to look into it. I don't really trust Wikipedia because it's pretty biased about some of the ways that they present information as truth or fiction or whatever. But nonetheless, it gives you a general overview of what their plan is economically. They call it an economic type of deal where, you know, you add Canada's strength with the American strength and Mexico all together, and you got these new forms of dollar. Well, it all falls under that whole one world government kind of thing. You got the world divided up into three unions, which will be all under the control of some leadership at the top, United Nations kind of thing, or...
Well, yeah, but, you know, like right now, we realize our system is this. Okay, an authoritarian party controls a society's economy and social activities.
Yeah.
We're under that already.
But the whole
that's,
thing is...
That we, That's already happened, and who put us in that position?
You said something earlier about when they come across that border like that, but you said something that was key to, you know, basically it goes down to order out of chaos. You know, when you have all these people rushing in through the doggone deal, that's when the people will actually demand that that wall is put up. Because for the fear of their own safety, yo, get our military down there. We're being overrun. But by that time, folks...
Well, it's going to be too late.
They are in. You know? And if you've got people in your communities that you can't trust, and then you got all these terrorist acts that are happening all the time... And you even have, like, converts on the inside, you know, Americans that, you know, will hear this and they're like, oh, yeah, I want to be a Muslim or Islam or whatever. And, you know, they'll get radicalized by different... It's not just in that... That's just one example. It, you know, it even went with the communist side back in the day. You can go watch this series and you can listen to what they were saying back then. What the congressmen were saying and how they would blame somebody for being a communist or whatever. And they actually had executions. Back in them days, they actually used to electrocute people. And so if you were, you know, basically charged with, you know, being a communist spy or something like that and charged with treason, you could be executed. That was going on here in America. All right? And there were, while people were out looking for this, my words aren't going to explain this. You just have to watch this doggone series. It's a long, long series. It's like each one of these videos are like a 2 hour, at least the first one, let's see, it's, yeah, it's a 2.5 hour documentary. And it goes all the way down the line to the very last one, the Cold War 5. And it's a, like a 45-minute one. But it basically lays out all the leadership, types of governments throughout the history. And from what I've watched so far, I don't see any kind of bias in there, like you're being propagandized towards, you know, believing that one side was worse than the other, because basically they both were doing it. They had the CIA was manipulating other countries, and you had their secret services and their spy networks, and... Even went as far as, you know, in China and all the different places in Europe and stuff like that. But it all boils down to these warlords, the big money men, the big power structure up in the top, that used and manipulated via propaganda and fear to get the average Joe to something to trip inside their mind to act like this mob mentality, where you're gonna rush out with your pitchforks and you're gonna make things right. You see what I'm trying to say here, Barbara?
Well, I do. You know, I mean, I think this is what we're dealing with here is what is advocating class war, because that's where we are now. You know, the divisiveness that we are being subjected to, and people are falling right into line. They're falling right into lockstep, you know. And so that's a form of communism, really, is advocating class war.
I'm looking for the day that the average Joe remains as an individual thinker and uses what we've been talking about, using discernment to watch, to make sure that they themselves are not being manipulated by one specific group or religious ideology or even political ideology, to always be on the alert, so to speak. Be awake. I mean wide awake, because in the time we're in right now, if you fall into... When they show babies on the border, you know, being... in front of the crowd, and yeah, that tugs on your heartstrings. Nobody wants the children hurt, and they know that. And so they put a bunch of children in front of them while they come running across the border. That's a coward that would put a kid in front of them.
Well, they've also discovered that some of these people dragging children across the border for thousands of miles don't even have... That's not even their own children.
Yeah, it's not even their kids.
So you have... I just got done reading... what communism is. Now I'm going to read here a theory of social organization. Socialism, a political economic theory of social organization. That makes me nervous. social organization that advocates that the means of production, distribution, and exchange should be owned or regulated by the community as a whole. So you have leftism, welfarism, radicalism, progressivism, social democracy, communism, Marxism, labor movement. That's really all the same.
Yeah, all the isms.
Huh? Those isms.
Yeah, all them isms. Stay away from isms.
They're not funny isms. They're scary isms.
I just want people to, before you hear something on the news and freak out and go join a crowd or a mob, and because this is it, this is the trick, this is the dirty little trick that governments that are out of control, or even people that's wanting to divide and conquer you to destabilize your nation and get you to not trust your specific government, is they'll get you to fight, then they'll get you to go out there in mob mentality, and when you go out there and start tearing everything up, they already have the laws in place ready to send in the so-called solution to bring back order and peace. Go look real hard. You know, when Alex Jones, whatever you think about Alex Jones, he was talking about the police state for a long time and how the police state was becoming militarized. That should be a warning sign on the deal there. You know, police used to be like serve and protect. Now it's a whole different game now. It's not like it used to be. So where you got the illusion of you're actually living in a free country called America, it's not necessarily as free as you think it is. Well, financially it's not free at all. It costs you out the eyeball. If you ain't got a job, you end up under a bridge living or in jail somewhere for vagrancy. So There's the implications and complications and things that happen to you just for if you just want to be a person that wanders the land. You got to watch where you walk because it's private property everywhere. You can be arrested for not having money in your pocket or sleeping on a bench. It's not free like you think it is. Where everybody thinks that it's wonderful, we got to go to America because America is this great place, the land of plenty. It's not necessarily as plentiful as you think it is. If what I'm saying isn't true, then there wouldn't be people within America that are starving. There wouldn't be people within America that are homeless. You know, every nation has problems. And, you know, it does sound wonderful that we could open up all the borders of the world and you could go visit your brothers and sisters around the world. But because of the way that the money man and the system has manipulated the people and radicalized them in whichever agenda direction, it's just not at the point right now where I'm going to unlock my door and say, yeah, come on in, brother, you mister from Guatemala, wherever you came from. You look like a trustworthy soul. No, because I'm going to want to protect my family. Everybody's going to want to protect their family. And it's just a shame, you know. It's a shame that we have to live like that. It's a shame that anybody think that, you know, somebody else would do them wrong. But, you know, there's a saying about sheep and wolf's clothes. And that's something in this day and age we got to pay attention to. However, I don't want everybody living in fear. And nobody with a good heart wants anybody living in fear. I don't want you doing anything out of fear. What I want is for everybody to use as much common sense as they can muster and as much discernment and keep an open ear and an open eye and pay attention to what's going on. Step back and get the big picture before you react, because this is how they play you, and they get you to do this mob thing. They get you to go to war. They get you to pick up weapons to go do things to other humans that you otherwise would never have done because of the type of person and the soul that you are. You see what I'm saying? We're fighting against the evil of, as far as I'm concerned, biblical proportions. You know, and if you don't like that reference, epic proportions. It doesn't matter. Whichever spiritual journey you choose in your life, I'm just saying, this is huge. And what we're up against too as a humans, it's not just, me by myself or you by yourself. It's we, the people of the world, are the ones who are being manipulated into doing terrible things to each other. This is why I'm saying world war forever, and I got a big question mark, because when we're talking about world war, we're not just talking about all these countries coming against one another. We're actually talking about people against people, brother against brother, sister against sister, and so on down the line. We're talking about the average person who would normally be doing something kind for somebody else, now warring with each other. Do you see what I'm trying to point out here?
We know, we've talked about the agenda to get us to war against each other, and this is the whole point, is that people, like I keep saying, people are, their emotions are, you know, basically are being riled up. People are not thinking. You cannot make a determination or a decision clearly when you are overwhelmed with your emotions, and that's the psychological warfare that we are dealing with, where people are pitted, being pitted against their neighbors, okay, being pitted against each other, people of color, just your neighbor, whatever, because they may have voted differently. I mean, the political agenda is what they're doing now, is the Dems, those on the left, are basically riling people up to violence upon others.
The hypocrisy to that is the whole social justice warrior thing. I mean,
yeah, there you go, social justice warrior. I have dealt with that myself personally, and Patty has too. Social justice warrior, right?
Yeah.
You have people. Patty's just popping in right now, actually. If you want to bring her in,
cool.
Let's talk about the social justice warrior. What is that?
Well, for one thing, it's not social justice when you're talking about warring. You know, I mean, these folks.
Well, it's righteousness. It's basically righteousness and people having their political perspective and pushing it upon you and deleting you or attacking you if you have a different perspective, you know.
Yeah, that's it. But see, aren't they supposed to be for justice? Aren't they supposed to be for peace and love and all that? They're not. They will use violence to get what they want. And that's not social justice. That's basically violence, plain and simple. There's no social justice to going out tearing somebody's property up or hitting somebody. These folks were actually taking padlocks and running up with a padlock and smacking people in the head with it. That's deadly. You know? And when the cops, the police, so-called the law enforcement, are standing idly by, and for some reason the governors of whichever area that it's happening in tells them that, you know, to stand down, just let these people do what they're going to do, you know? Something's wrong, folks. That ought to be a red signal, a red flag signal that say that, you know, there's something going on here that hasn't got anything to do with this protest. It's got to do with allowing this fight to come go to head. That way, when it comes down to it, you bring your military in there as the superheroes and you save the day. And suddenly, there you go. We got to get under this whole. Everybody keeps hearing it. The whole doggone it, martial law thing. We got to get under this so we can get everything calmed down.
I think we're going to be heading for. We're heading for martial law, but
once you go into it, you don't come out. That's what I'm trying to say.
I just want to make this social justice warrior, okay, is that a social justice warrior carries implications that they are pursuing personal validation rather than any deep-seated conviction, and they are engaging in disingenuous arguments.
Yep. You can't talk common sense and facts.
Well, we're talking politically correct, politically incorrect. We're talking about all these, you know, they just throw this stuff at you, and there's a whole list of now today of what we're dealing with about what is in today's world politically incorrect.
They'll call you all those nasty names like homophobe, xenophobe, racist, Nazi, and all that kind of stuff, and because they know that once somebody else hears, oh wow, he's a racist, and you know, suddenly you got to justify yourself to the crowd. I'm not a racist, right? But it doesn't matter. That's the power that they knew that they could do with those words to get their way, and they will outshout you. They won't sit there and talk critically with you like we're talking respectful with one another. We can agree to disagree in a peaceful manner. They don't do that. They want to outshout you and force their views and their opinions on you. You're going to accept gay rights whether you like it or not. It doesn't matter whether you're gay or not. You're just a white male racist Nazi gay hating person, and that's not the case. It never was the case. But that's the tactics that they have learned to use, whether it be via these destabilization, because a lot of these are paid people that go out there to agitate, paid agitators. And guys like George Soros, who's got millions of dollars at his disposal, can afford to put several million dollars down. Hey, I'll pay you all this money. Go over there and agitate these folks. It's just like what you see on Jerry Springer. That's people will sit around and watch that. The mainstream media is making money hand over fist because there's so much drama going on TV, you know, in the world, that the more craziness they can get going, the more people's going to watch, the more their advertisers get paid. And so in that sense, financially, you're being manipulated as well. That's why I say this is the part in time when you need to be you're most awake and you're most alert. Because the way that things are going down the road, we're not ready to open our borders wide open. As much as it sounds good to have borderless societies, I would love to see that. But because of the way that these folks went about to get their one world government, there's so much craziness going on. You don't know whether it's a radical from this side or a radical from that side, or somebody just wanting to come in and take over America or your country for that matter.
Well, you have to look at politically incorrect as who determines what is politically incorrect or politically correct.
Yeah.
Who is it that is determining this? You see, this is where we find the problem. You know, so it's no longer free speech where you have an opinion or a perspective, or you're allowed to say that, you know, and someone else can respond to you. You are immediately attacked as being politically incorrect. You know, you're a racist, you know, or you're a homophobe or whatever it is. But who is the one, who are those that are setting up this system where now you can't even have a perspective? You can't speak freely your opinion. Now I'm not talking, hate speech is a different thing, but who determines what hate speech is also?
Well, yeah, because here's the thing, you and me and Patty and everybody who's ever been on this show would probably be arrested, maybe even in the future because of some of our podcasts. They'll hear our podcast and declare us to be radical. We've been preaching peace, hope, and love forever, but we're not doing it the way that they want us to do it.
Well, if you disagree with the politics, for instance, in the Middle East or in Israel, between Israel, what Israel is doing to a nation of Palestinians, if you disagree with that, if you have a rightful, you know, voice and perspective to give your opinion on that, you're tagged as a racist and politically, incorrect.
Yep.
You can't talk that way. If you say Muslim or Islam, now you are politically incorrect and you're attacked because now you're a racist. It has to be Asian. Now, in Europe, they're saying you cannot say the word Islam or, Muslim. You have to say Asian. You can't define anymore who you are talking about because you will be attacked.
What about anti-Semite?
Well, you're an anti-Semite if you disagree with Israel's policies and what they're doing over there, killing, you know, the Palestinians who have sticks and stones, and they have guns and tanks and bombs.
Well, I don't agree with hurting people like that. You know, on one hand, I can see you protecting your land, but on the other hand, it goes back to what I was saying about those two little girls that the reporter was talking about. You know,
yeah.
You got,
well, that's your psychological propaganda.
The two little girls.
There you are.
The reporter said, "Do you ever want peace with Israel?" And the little girl said, "No, we hate Israel. They killed our mommy and daddy." Well, if you look on the opposite side of the fence, there might be two little girls on there that would say the same thing. But you can't never break those chains with all the propaganda going on both sides of the fence. You can't never break those chains. And when it's a retaliation, kind of like the Hatfield-McCoy scenario, were years down the road. They didn't even know what the heck the fight started over, but they were still, they hated each other. They still battled it out. To this very day, I think the Hatfield and McCoys don't get along. For whatever reason, even if it's now just a joke, whatever, I don't know. But you see what I'm trying to say here? Thousands of years these folks have been over there fighting over their version of what they believe, their religion, the right and wrong of their religion and all that kind of stuff. And they will actually kill people of other faith because they don't agree with them. Those are the radicalized individuals that are telling people like the Americans that one day the flag of Islam will fly over the White House. Those are the ones that are going over to Europe, bringing all these young men over there fighting age, that are now out there doing the terrible atrocities to the women trying to mind their own business and live life, you know, happily ever after. You know, and those are the folks that the government themselves had warned us about, the terrorists, the so-called war on terror. It's just like the war on drugs. It's never, ever going to stop. You know, until everything just completely falls apart.
Well, nowadays we have to start our discussion with, I am sorry to anyone that I may offend. All right?
Yep, that's it.
You already apologize before you even start your commentary. Now, it becomes, what we're talking about is the taboo to talk about gender. Christmas becomes a dirty word. Now, I'm not saying how I feel about these. I'm just sharing this information with you. So, basically, we're talking, Christmas is a dirty word. If you talk about gender, okay. So, snowman. Here we go. Here's some things. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm going to step out and cough this out in the other room, so you go ahead.
Okay. So here's some things that are becoming and will become politically incorrect. Snowman. All beings of snow be referred to as either snow people or snow persons. Now, is that absurd? Okay. Number two, either or. Any person, place, or thing on either side of these words is subject to exclusion. Both and will be the only acceptable correlation and conjunctions. You have to use both and or will be. Both. Any person, place, or thing on either side of these words is subjected to exclusion. America. To describe citizens of the United States. Now, this is in Canada. We Canadians are American, too, as are people of the 35 other countries that make up Americas. But the word American will be coming soon that will be politically incorrect. Now, the word you guys. Okay, I'm just going to, you know, you guys, all right, that's politically incorrect. Okay, visible minority, okay, happy holidays, politically incorrect, sorry people, you can't say happy holidays, sick or ill, okay, I don't get some of this stuff, but this is the war on slang, I guess. Edmonton Oilers, environmental activism turns things up a notch, referencing contributing factors to climate change will be considered in poor taste. Got that? Referencing contributing factors to climate change will be considered in poor taste. Sorry. The word sorry implies remorse or regret for an action that shouldn't have taken place in the first place, right? So you have immediate admission of guilt punishable by exile to the United States or any of the other 34 nations in America. This is from Canada, by the way. Beaver tail, unless strictly speaking about the hindmost part of the national animal, referring to paddle-shaped sweet pastry snacks by the name constitutes animal cruelty. Vegans have had their way in Parliament. So this is where we are going. Oh, gosh.
Made it back. Sorry about coughing everybody out. I get all passionate in my talk and then start choking to death. But
let's not confuse political correctness with basic human decency, you know?
Yeah.
It's not about oppressing a group of marginalized people, but it's mostly about not being a jerk, I guess.
Yeah. The whole doggone thing is that somebody behind the scenes, nine times out of ten, are doing the pushing the buttons to get people to act like that.
You know? Well, you know, nowadays we are including, like, oops, I'm about to say something that might not be politically correct, or oops, I better be careful, the political correct police are here, or, you know, oh, or they're just trying to be politically correct, or I'm sick of all this politically correct nonsense, it's ruining our country.
You know, you have pointed out to me a lot of times, whenever I start to talk about things, I feel like I have to be an apologist for my own beliefs and that
kind
of stuff.
That's correct.
Yeah, and that's a shame, because, you know, we're supposedly, you know, caring about each other's independence and rights and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, justice and all. But if I can't even be a white man in this world, you know, and talk about my own personal spiritual beliefs without coming under the gun and having to feel like I gotta apologize before I even say what it is I'm trying to say. You know, when I talk about biblical references, I know there's people out there that despise the Bible, and, you know, maybe justifiably so. I don't know. You know, I wasn't around to witness whether somebody wrote it right or whether they wrote it wrong or whatever the case may be. But if one book in anything out there is questionable, then they're all questionable. So I look at everything, even that book, I look at it with a discerning eye, if you understand what I'm trying to say. I don't just haphazardly go through life believing in just anything. Especially, you know, in this world that we live in, where news can be manipulated and information can be manipulated. I'm about as wide awake as anybody can get, because I'm also paranoid of being deceived. You know, I hate being lied to. Everybody hates being lied to. But I'm not going to allow this system to manipulate me into violence. I'm not going to allow this system to get me to the point where I'm going to go out there and hurt my brothers and sisters around this world so that they can make money, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Well, here are some... I'm looking for what are the non-politically correct words you had better avoid, as the truth often upsets people.
There's a lot of them, and you can't even have certain symbols. If you got the old, you know, rebel flag that they started taking.
Well, here's the okay. So here's where we are. The ridiculousness of where we've come. We have a politically incorrect word, and aside from that, we have the now politically correct or the alternative. So here's the word alive. How many times have you used the word alive? That's politically incorrect. You have to say temporarily, metabolically abled.
Huh.
Bald. If you say the word bald, no, you're wrong. Politically incorrect, you should say follicularly challenged.
Huh.
Follicularly challenged. You know, the follicles in the head. Body odor.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm from Missouri, okay, and I don't have that high-tech terminology that a lot of people want to hear, and so I'm probably going to sound politically incorrect and grammatically incorrect as well, but if I get my message across in the most respectful manner, isn't that what really matters?
If you say somebody has body odor, ooh, you are politically incorrect. You should say non-discretionary fragrance.
Well, where I come from, they say, boy, you're right.
Now, if you say, oh, you're from a broken home, you are politically incorrect. You should say you're from a dysfunctional family.
Well, that sounds more insulting than broken.
If you say a person is clumsy, you're politically incorrect. You should say uniquely coordinated.
Uncoordinated.
Now, yes, if you say somebody's a criminal, guess what? The alarms go off. You are politically incorrect. But what you should be saying is behaviorally challenged.
Yeah.
If you say somebody's dead, guess what? You should say they are living impaired.
You can't even say whether somebody's man, or you can call somebody man and then get all offended because, you know, how dare you call me a man? I'm a woman. And, I mean, like, you look like a man. I'm sorry, but
you see what I'm... Listen to this. A housewife, nope, me, domestic engineer.
Domestic engineer? That's pretty cool. Well... They must have
gone. Here we go. Illegal aliens. No. Undocumented immigrants. A person who basically is, if you say the word fat, no, you need to say they are horizontally challenged.
What?
Natural disaster? You must say now global warming occurrence.
Well,
prostitute, you must say sex worker.
When the PC cops get here, I guess I got multiple counts against me because my terminology ain't never going to make it to that.
Well, we have horizontally challenged, we have vertically challenged. If you're short, you can't say somebody, oh, you're short. You say, oh, you're vertically challenged. If somebody is a prostitute, they're a sex worker, a sex change. Here's one. We all know this. You can't say sex change. It's gender reassignment now.
So is it little people or midgets?
Yeah. Oh, there you go. No, they're. What are they, horizontally challenged to? I don't know.
Well, that'd be vertically challenged.
And if you're, you can't say someone's ugly. You have to say they are cosmetically different.
Man.
And if you say somebody's unemployed, no, meh. It's involuntarily leisured.
See, this world is upside down.
I have to say, well, some of this is humorous, but we identify a couple in here that we are really being pressured about, and this is gender reassignment. Okay, that's one. Oh, gender reassignment is considered politically correct. We must use this language now, Shaziz, or we will be attacked for being politically incorrect.
Someday...
I just popped that nonsense into you there. Hey, sis, are you here? Where is she?
I'm here. I'm just listening. I don't know. I can't talk. I don't know what to say.
Listening. The
absurd. Can I say... I don't know what I can say. I don't know. I have to be quiet because... I might get in trouble for being politically incorrect. Can I say politically incorrect?
Well, politically correct, political correctness is the awful truth, you know. I mean, it's hitting every part of our, you know, it's not, I mean, rape, every word you could imagine. Like I said, you know, you don't live in a screwed up, messy household or your parents weren't crazy and rude and cruel. Nope, you had a dysfunctional family.
You remember how we were talking about how powerful words are?
Oh, yeah.
See, this is what I'm talking about. These people have literally figured out a method by which to weaponize speech. They weaponize it for political, ideologically, I can't even pronounce it anymore. See what happened?
Well, you better check to see if you can even say it.
Yeah. It might be illegal. Might be one of those things that get you. I'm beside myself. Is that possible?
Well, I want to know. I seriously want to know who decides that they have the right to determine what you say, and in doing that, actually determine what you're allowed to think.
Yeah. It's like the whole freedom of speech thing.
Well, yeah, that was my question. Who is it that's determining this? Right, what you can and cannot say.
So,
well,
no,
I think
longer,
we know.
You no longer have freedom of speech, even if you think you, the paper still says you do, but if you can't, if you have to worry about what you're going to say, because my terminology isn't up to snuff, I'm going to say the wrong thing, I might call them a little people, and they might want to be called a midget, or vice versa, I don't know. Not trying
well,
to
you
hurt
know,
anybody.
You know, she says, the average person in the U.S. is not going to quibble about what you say and how you say it. It is a very small percentage of people who are mentally challenged, critically, cognitively, thinking challenged. I'm just saying.
Oh man, that's getting absurd.
They're the ones making the most noise, and my grandpa used to say it's the squeakiest wheel that gets the grease. So maybe everybody who's got common sense needs to be the loudest.
Yeah. Hey, Annie. Annie's in the chat. But, you know, this is the thing, is that when do we decide that I don't care what you say, I'm gonna talk, I'm going to opine, I am going to refer to you as my culture, as my generation, as I choose to. You know, Barb, me and you grew up, and Shaz, you too, in the same era. And so there were colloquialisms, there were slang that we used to describe each other,
yep,
to describe things that happened in our environment with the people and everything. We understand that. I can speak it. Even if you have a relationship to the word I use, you're not going to be insulted by it.
No.
You know? And if you are, you're going to turn around and you're going to say, hey, I appreciate that. And I'm going to say, oh, okay.
I've had people call me a cracker. I started laughing. Because the first thing I see is, I ate a whole bag of crackers yesterday, so like some saltines. And that's the first thing that comes to my mind. Hey, you a cracker? Oh, I didn't know I was a cracker.
I remember when they used to call honky.
Yeah, I remember that one too. Yeah. The first thing I think about that, somebody driving down the road blasting their horn at people.
Well, call it like it is. A prostitute is a prostitute, but now they're sex workers. How do they feel about that? I don't know.
Does anybody ask?
It doesn't matter how they feel.
That's what I'm saying. How do they feel? Nobody cares.
Can you get a degree in that? Like college or something?
They should be paying them pensions and everything.
Yeah. 401k. Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, the world is gone to hell in a handbasket, I guess.
And the thing of it is that all of this is being done by a very small faction of people.
Yep.
And it's being promoted by the media as if it is the common thought of the whole nation.
Oh, yeah, like the Zoom Trump effect, where they zoom in on Trump and they don't show the people around him or anything like that. And whenever they're like the other ones, they'll crowd everybody in to make it look like they're all a giant crowd. Is that what you're talking about, Patty?
Well, yeah. It's the sleight of hand, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like the laws that are being passed. They only apply really in California and in a couple of other cities across the nation. But that's all you see on the news. And what you see from these cities and from the state of California, California has typhus and an extraordinary amount of cases in Los Angeles where they have the illegal influx of people from Mexico. They're not immigrants, they're illegal criminals for the most part that are coming across the border, and they have taken over the cities.
Well, you hit another key right there. That's another one of the whole things that people aren't taking in consideration when they're talking about open borders, is because, you know, here in the United States and places like Canada and even Europe, there are lots of, healthcare, vaccinations, that kind of stuff. Regardless of what you think of vaccinations, nonetheless, we really don't have a lot of the old style diseases that some of the other countries that some of these people may be coming from may have been exposed to, which is reintroducing it into society. You see what I'm trying to say? Because if you go through the legal immigration process, I'm sure that there's some sort of medical thing in there that they want you to get certain vaccinations before, or ask you questions and medically related to have you had this particular vaccination, because they don't want, you know, some big outbreak going on.
Well, you're going to get a medical screening in the first place, but the typhus is being caused by the unclean and the way these people are living on the street. There's no place to house these people. There are so many. And Americans, the citizens, are being put out on the street in California. These people are living on the street, and there's refuse, there's trash, and the typhus comes from the fleas off of the rats. The
They're pooping in the streets.
Yeah, but the feces is actually being carried by the fleas.
Yep.
Well, the flea feces actually is where it's coming. Yeah. But this is the thing, is that this is what happens when you throw away. You know, I am like you, Barb. I don't think that there should be, in the perfect world, there should be no borders. There should be no reason that people should be prevented from going anywhere. But we don't live in a perfect world. And we see that by these illegal people coming across the border to commit crimes, which they have here. And they have harmed people irreparably. They have killed. They have murdered. They have raped, you know. So we've got to stand up and say, wait a minute, we don't live in a perfect world. People across this globe don't hold hands and sing Kumbaya. What they do is they pick up guns, bats, and whatever, and they go after each other. That's common. That's every day across this globe. Okay? So we don't have a perfect world. So don't put these aspects of a perfect world into an imperfect world. You're asking for what you get.
Well, and there's another thing too, is that there are certain cultures that just seem not be able to get along. Proof is over in the Middle East. There's different versions of the same religion over there that they just can't get along. They've been warring forever. Go back thousands of years, they've been warring. And, you know, and then you get, you know, like Christians and Muslims and all this mixed with different versions of Christians and different versions of Muslims, and they just can't get along. So what better way to destabilize a nation than to flood any nation with somebody who has radical views on whichever particular religion that they got? Because you know that these folks aren't going to be able to blend in with society. They're not going to come in there and assimilate.
They don't want to blend in.
Yeah, they want to take
over.
They
don't want to.
They want
That's
to turn.
You see, I don't have a problem with somebody having radical views. I have a problem with them acting on them.
Yep, there you go. Well, even
well, like, there you go. It's you're politically incorrect though if you have a radical view now, or you speak about you know, whatever, whoever considers it radical or outside the norm, and we don't even know what the norm is anymore because they're changing our language deliberately.
It's like this. I don't mind people coming from Mexico to immigrate to the United States, but I don't want them carrying their Mexican flag place that they said was oppressing them while they had to leave, or even Guatemala for that matter. They said some of these people in this crowd were carrying the Guatemalan flag. All right, well, it's just a flag, right? Okay, well, if you're going to bring your country to mine, that's not an immigration. That's an invasion. It's that simple, you know? I'm not bringing my American flag and pounding it down in Mexico and say I'm proud to be American. I probably wouldn't fare too well doing that over Mexico because they don't have the same kind of, you know, sense of humor as our social justice warriors do over here. See?
Well, you've got to realize, too, that these people in mass, you know, they were paid. They were given money.
Yeah.
And the ones that are coming from Honduras and places like this, Honduras is a pretty bad place. It used to not be, but this new government that they have has really stomped down on the people. And so I'm sure that somebody said, hey, I'm going to give you a couple hundred bucks. They're like, woohoo, I'm gone, you know.
Well, Honduras these people, is one of the places where there were a lot of beheadings going on between tribal drug gangs. And you think if that was to start happening over here in the United States, first off, the gun owners of the world would start their own revolution and start taking people out. But nonetheless, before it ever even gets to that doggone point, that's when they're going to beg to put that wall up, to put the military down on the border. Because if that stuff starts happening over here to the American citizens, it's going to be a whole different story. And these folks that are pushing that agenda, you know, the social justice warriors out there that say, yeah, we got to be nice and, you know, save the children and allow everybody to come here. We're a nation of immigrants and all that kind of stuff. If they get what it is that they think they want, it might not turn out the way that they want. It more than likely won't turn out the way that they want.
And well, then, let's be real. Let's be real about this. The social justice warrior movement is not a people movement. It's not the young university children, and I'm saying children, because they are immature. When you're in college and university, the maturity factor kind of gets put on the back shelf. These kids, I remember being that age. I remember the universities. It's not, we have to point the arrow in the right place. These kids did not come up with the idea of social justice warriors. It was given to them. It was taught to them by the adults, the professors, the universities, and the government officials. Okay, this is not, we have to remember that everybody's been played. You're being played, I'm being played, these young people are being played, the people from Honduras are being played, but they are being played by the people who have an agenda.
Yep.
And when you put your foot down on people and you start to crush them under the weight of your feet, those people are going to want to leave. They're not going to want to stay there. So the problem isn't that the people are leaving. The problem is why are they feeling that they have to leave? Fix that problem. And then everybody can stay where they're at.
Yeah.
The people of Honduras were very, very happy before this regime came in there. They were doing well. It was purposely brought down. All of this is a play. It's an agenda.
Well, there's a group out there called the Proud Boys, which is a patriotic kind of deal. And even those folks are being manipulated. Because now you got the Proud Boys out there fighting with the Antifa, right? And this makes for good, good, TV. You know, you can see all these. And then they'll say, well, these are these racist right-wing, Nazis that are coming in here beating up on these poor, innocent, liberal social justice warriors. They ain't poor and they ain't innocent. They're hitting people in the head with padlocks and sticks and busting windows and setting fire to cars. So they're not even remotely peaceful.
But where is this happening? This is happening in sanctuary city areas and such. You know, this is another thing that we have to start looking at. We got to be real. You know, it's nice to say, like I said, open borders. Yeah, there shouldn't be a freaking border in this world. There should not be a fence. There should not be a gate anywhere. There should not be any suffering. There should not be any wars. There shouldn't be any criminality whatsoever. There should be only the ability for everyone to gain knowledge, to create, and to live in peace and abundance. That's the way it should be, but hey, guess what? We ain't there. And you can't superimpose a perfect society on an imperfect society and say, okay, it's good, walk away.
Unlike both you ladies, I'm rooting for the utopia to come around someday, but until we start as a people realizing that we're actually being manipulated by, you know, different things, the information that's put out there to us, until we start using discernment and wisdom and common sense and actually start passing that on to our younger generations, if we're not doing it now, imagine what our younger generations will be a couple generations down the line. They're losing their freedom hand over fist, and they don't even realize it because they think that they're doing something good. These social justice warriors, they feel like a part of something, and they feel like they're on the side of justice, you know? But the ends don't justify the means when you're out there hurting people, and they don't get it. If they do get it, like what Hillary Clinton just got through saying, you know, we'll be civil whenever we got back in power. So they're basically saying that you vote for them or we're going to have a rowdy time about it, you know? You know what I'm saying? That's what she said.
Well, you got to look at that, and you've got to say, okay, you got the Maxine Waters, and you've got the Hillary Clintons, and you've got the Schumers, and all of these people who are representing the people. And they're standing there saying, what, older, he said, when they go low, we kick them.
Yeah.
You know, you got to stop and say, wait a minute, this is wrong. You don't have a right to say that. You don't have a right to incite these people. You're telling me that I don't have a right to choose how I want to express myself.
You know,
but you're telling...
It's illegal to run into a crowded room and shout fire. So how is that any different than what they're doing now? You see what I'm saying?
Well, this is a political ploy. It's about politics. It's about who you're voting for. If you voted for an opposing party to those who are speaking out against violence, they're basically saying, go beat those people up because they voted for so-and-so.
Yeah.
So the onus is really on the people themselves.
Yep.
I mean,
that's right.
Again, it comes back to us to say, screw you. I don't care. And I'm not going to play your game. I'm not going to do your bidding because I have the right to be who the frick I am. You know?
That's it.
And I'm not going to go after another individual and say, I have every right to be who I am, but by gosh, you better shut the heck up, get in the corner, and turn around.
Yeah, conform to my beliefs, and then we'll get along, and that's about it. You know, and that's why probably what turns a lot of people off on different types of religions is basically when they tell you, you're basically going to burn in hell if you don't listen to what I'm telling you. I had a friend that used to go down there, stand on the street corner, and he would preach and tell everybody, you know, you better read this book, you're going to go to hell and all this kind of stuff, and he kept getting beat up. And then he came to me one day and he said, why do they keep trying to attack me all the time? And I said, brother, it might not be your message, it might be the way that you're delivering your message is why you keep getting beat up. You can't
cause
force people.
And effect.
Yeah, well, you can't force people
today,
to believe.
Yeah. Today it's not about the truth. If you have a source of truth and facts, literally factual, and it happens to come from a particular source that somebody doesn't agree with, like let's say Breitbart, or let's say Fox News, or any of the others, okay, but you find this political fact, or this, I'm saying, excuse the word political, you find this fact, it doesn't matter what it is, and if you post it, this is what's going on, if you post it, and someone does not agree, or someone is saying that they are racist, or they don't agree with that source, doesn't matter if you're posting something truthful or factual. They don't care about the truth.
Nope.
But you know what? I grew up in an area, I've talked about it before, southern Louisiana. I grew up with racial riots. I grew up with the dog-eat-dog world. That's the way it is down there. And I'll say it right now, it still is. It's the most corrupt frickin' place that I've ever lived in my life. The people have to fight just to be, right?
Yep.
Because they are constantly being channeled to do this and that by the system that's down there. Well, during all these racial riots and everything, I remain neutral. I didn't have a problem. I had friends who were black, white, red. It didn't matter. They had friends that were black, white, red. They stood above it. They stood clear of it. They were not affected by it. That's who we are. We have that choice. We always have that choice. every single day, every single minute, we have the choice to be above it. And if we choose to be above it, then we can be above it. It doesn't matter what law they pass. It doesn't matter what they say we can say or can't say, what we can do, what we can't do. If we choose to remain above it, then we can. I'm not saying open the borders. I'm saying use the frickin' brain that you were born with. I said that word again. You know?
Yeah.
Use the brain that you were given and realize that you're no different from any other color. You're no different from any other class. You're just a being on this earth experiencing your life, and you have a right to. So does that guy over there. And he can look at me and he can say any manner of insult to me. And hey, it's been done. Been done. Been there. And all you have to do, you got two choices. You can react like an idiot and take that and say, okay, that belongs to me, so I'm going to act the idiot so that I can prove to you that I am what you said I am. Or you can say, you're an idiot, and I'm going to walk away. Right?
Yeah.
What happened to that? Where's that logical thinking? Where's that common sense that says, if I entwine in stupidity, I become stupid?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just saying.
May in the chat room, this probably goes back to the conversation earlier about the politically correct, says, don't call someone stupid, they are uninformed. Ha ha ha. Oh man, we got some pretty awesome people that show up in the chat room.
I can't get your chat to work. I've been to your site and I even updated my Flash, but it's still not letting me add the chat.
Man, what a mess. Well, that's probably part of the problem trying to get message out to people about what we've been talking to is that, you know, the way that the censorship with Google and, you know, all these different browsers where they set them up so that if you don't pay the man for that secure certificate, then they'll tell everybody your site's not safe. There ain't nothing wrong with our site. I've been using it for years. Ain't nobody ever said they had any problem with it. Nobody's ever got a virus off my site. And my site goes through a well-known company, you know, Weebly. They scan everything on the way up and on the way down. So I know that this site is safe. You know, and we don't gather up anybody's information. I couldn't tell you who's been here or who hadn't been here. There ain't no passwords. It's all free. So, you know, nobody's got to worry about anything. We use Chatango as far as the chat codes that we use, because it's a free chat, and it's really got some really cool little deals where you can actually scroll back to comments prior. If you actually scroll that up, it'll say you can look at the previous 20 some odd comments or whatever from days before, so you can go back and you can find links that we've already posted on previous shows, you know, but it's a free deal. And if you want to like be a member of that, you got to make your own little account with Chatango, but you don't have to. You can just show up as an anonymous in the chat room. So, you know, that's why we use it, because it you don't have to sign up to use it. You can still use it even if you ain't signed up. So that's why it's there. But either way,
well, I can't even get into my TCT chat room anymore.
Well, it's
I can't even
there.
Get into my own chat room.
It's still there because we're using it. It's one of the four chat rooms on the Super Chat.
I know, but I can't get there for some reason, you know. And I set the dang thing up. Excuse me? You know?
Yeah, that's why whenever my browser was telling me that I couldn't go to my own site because it wasn't safe, and I couldn't figure out how to make it so that I could go there regardless of what my browser's. I made the site. What do you tell me it ain't safe? Jerk. This is the doggone Microsoft and Google and all them trying to manipulate the information that you get. Tell you where you can go and where you can't go. That's that politically correct internet version.
So where are we politically incorrect people heading?
Well, unfortunately,
where are they leading us?
Unfortunately, if they lead us down the road that we're on, the path that we're on right now, they're going to have us all fighting each other out in the doggone streets where we have a civil war that gets out of hand, and we're going to end up having to you know, call in reinforcements. And their version of reinforcements is their so-called UN troops, or, you know, even our own
mercenaries,
whatever. Yeah, mercenaries.
We have got U.S. military forces on the ground, their feet on the ground in this country right now.
We have
Think
mercenaries
about that.
Too. We were told.
Yeah, but this is constitutionally not allowed. Do you
right.
see?
Yeah. That means these folks up at the top are serious about their agenda, and that's probably why guys like George Soros is paying people to cross our border to basically, you know, if they can't get us to fight each other hard enough, well, imagine what would happen if you got a whole bunch of immigrants coming in that aren't of, they're not just coming here, they want to live, they're coming here, they want to fight, and they want to take over, whatever. You know, the moment that happens, it doesn't matter whether you're Democrat or Republican. You start getting your family attacked, it don't matter what you believe or don't believe, you're going to want to fight back. And then you're going to want the guys that you called racist to help you out fight back. So, you know, it's going to turn out ugly if we allow them to just do what it is that they've been doing. That's what the whole agenda is. To bring in the Agenda 21 and all that one world government stuff, they have to break this country down. They have to get us fighting to have the justification to bring in the so-called problem solvers and bring back order. The whole, what we keep hearing about martial law and all that kind of jazz. When you got military on every street corner, and there's another thing that I don't know if people's ever seen, and this may sound kind of conspiratorial, but I've been noticing in my area down here, they've been revamping the streets to guide you around in certain directions to the extent in every direction you go, there's a roundabout. Now, if you ever seen what a roundabout looks like, it seems like it might be a good idea. You know, you get the traffic not to run into each other. They go around in a circle, but it still seems more dangerous than just a normal four-way crossing. But either way, looks perfect for a guard shack right in the middle. So that you would be able to have to go through a checkpoint. If you wanted to go from this county to that county, you got to go through a checkpoint first. Now, even the buildings that they got out there are starting to look like more like bunkers than they are, you know, like Walmart. Walmart actually has military contracts that under certain circumstances, that becomes a military building. Did you guys know that? That's a real deal.
Well, yeah, and what I'm seeing, you know, and you think that this social justice warrior stuff and what we're seeing in these few cities is an issue, but you wait. When you have 4,000 plus people storming the border, facing off against military, can you imagine? I mean, these people, they're like us. They're people. They're just people.
Yep.
They are following the herd. They are moving in unison because, you know, like I said, if I was living in Honduras and somebody came up and said, hey, I know you don't have enough money to buy food and to even get electricity in your house, but if you leave, I'm going to pay you money. My hand's gonna be out.
Yeah, all you gotta do is make it to America and you're good, see? But in a sense, the worst case scenario is they're sending those people to the slaughter because what do you think the U.S. military
exactly.
is gonna do if they try to bum rush the border? You think the military is gonna stand up?
There's the criminal element. 100 ISIS fighters were arrested before they even left Guatemala. And the masses are, mostly young men. There are women and children there. But here's the deal, is that those women and children, you know, they're being put up for fodder. We should be yelling and screaming about this and putting these people in harm's way. Having them to sacrifice themselves for this agenda. You know, we got to stop the kids coming out of the university. They're getting the information from the universities of this social justice warrior crap.
Well, but they don't understand when those people come across the doggone border of Mexico like that, they got to cross the desert, and when they do, a lot of people die out there. You know,
it's children are raped.
Yeah.
You know, this is the thing, is when do we decide to be justice warriors? When do we decide that the people have to help each other, to clarify, to educate? There are bad people out there. I am not discounting that. There are awful, horrible, disgusting people out there doing horrible, bad, disgusting things, and those people need to be held to justice for what they're doing. But the masses of people are not all the same, but we're all being lumped the same. Yeah. It's just like this politically correct stuff. You, Shaziz, you're a loving guy. You're open to everybody. You're open to ideas. You're open to discussion. You're open to all of these things, but you're lumped in. Yep. You can't speak. You can't say. You can't do. I'm the same way. Barb's the same way. This stuff is where we need to put our foot down and say, as people, as individuals, say, go the frick away.
Yep, that's
get out of my face.
That's why I feel like it is really important that we keep speaking the way that we're doing. Because we keep talking about it, because it don't seem like too many other people, definitely not the mainstream media, not sitting here talking common sense. And when they do, it's only their side, their biased opinion of common sense that they believe is right. Oh, well, you can't just let these people be taken away from their families and all that kind of stuff. You can't do this to children. And they're trying to play on everybody's heart. Well, in the same doggone breath, they don't realize that these people are, they're getting raped. They're getting, they're dying out in the dang desert. They're actually being abused getting here. They have to pay money to these coyotes to bring them across the doggone border to sneak them in. And then when they get here, they ain't got nowhere to go. Unless they got some family waiting on them on this side of the fence, and they ain't got nowhere to go. And so that puts them right out there in society. And what are they going to do? If you're hungry, you're going to go out there, you're going to have to steal in order to get some food. You know?
Well, if you want open borders, if you want people of all races, creeds, colors to live together, then start working toward it. Stop dividing. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop inciting. You can't get a lemon from an orange. No matter how you beat that orange to a pulp, it's still not going to become a lemon, right?
That's right.
You can't make a lemon an orange. No matter how much you squeeze that lemon, it's still going to be a lemon.
And like you
right?
said, we don't live in a perfect world yet. I would love to see a day where
Make it a perfect world, and then we got what you want.
Yeah. You make this world where we know we're all safe and everybody agrees we're not going to be killing each other, you know, then we don't need to pick up our guns. I'm still not going to get rid of it because you might change your mind the moment I do. That's the problem. You see what I mean? And they got the refugees. They're coming in under the name of refugees, but when they get here, are they really refugees? All right? I feel bad. I let you in my house and you ripped me off. Whose fault is it? It's both of our faults, because I wasn't...
Well, yeah, Gaz says something in the chat here. He said the FEMA buses are getting fueled up as we sit and chat. They are planning, exactly, that's what these FEMA camps are going to be used for. These people are going to come across this border. They've already said that as soon as you come here, if you cross this border, you will be arrested, you will be detained, you will be deported. So if you got 4,000 plus people...
So the question goes about the FEMA. Was the FEMA camps for the American people, or was the FEMA camps for one side that knew that this was going to happen?
It's for us all. This is just an agenda. It's starting out this way. It will make its way around. We're building our own fences.
Yep.
We're building our own camps for each other.
If you don't agree, you go to the gulag or the concentration camp, or now it's called FEMA camps, Federal Emergency Management Association. Really? It seems like they're causing more
problems. They're managing. Seems they're like managing the herd.
Yeah. It's like all these doggone events that's going on around the world. They seem to be more planned events. Like, there's always seems to be a drill in the area where this stuff is happening. And just for just such an emergency, the same doggone drill. Going back to 9/11 and all this kind of stuff, they keep on throwing it in there as a conspiracy theory and to muddy up the waters. It's kind of like whenever the doggone media comes out there like, you know, ancient alien show on there. They'll put it out there like aliens exist, possibly, and then at the very end they throw that little negative seed in there. So now you got that little seed of doubt going on. That's the same thing with those conspiracies. In my mind, it's conspiracy fact. They're really conspiring to take down this country and other countries. But if you try to vocalize that, then you have to be the apologist for your own view or opinion, because otherwise people label you as a conspiracy theorist. You see what I mean? And all these labels, homophobe, xenophobe, social justice warrior, all these kind of things like this, the things that they use to... Words are powerful, people. They are really powerful. You start calling somebody a Nazi, there's a lot of people going to be offended by being called a Nazi. I ain't no Nazi, you know?
Right. Well, Gaz, he put in here, the military in USA took an oath to protect people. And as far as I am aware, they won't shoot their own populace. Well, that's not entirely true. The majority of them wouldn't. But they don't need the military to... And the military has put their foot down. I lived in Louisiana, and they go around in trucks, and they're armed with machine guns. I saw that as a child.
Yep.
The army trucks going
That's
up and down the road.
That's why they have the mercenaries. That's why they're bringing in the mercenaries. They're not your neighbor's son who went to, you know, who's in the military or the, you know.
And in a lot of respects, they're retired military.
Yep.
And if you don't think that they will, you remember Standing Rock and you remember what happened to the people?
Yep. Well, here's another aspect of the thing is nowadays, you know, you got this old Manchurian candidate factor to put in there, that you got people who might be in uniform who were all along there as a plant. You know, that's why that old spy versus spy thing during the Cold War that I kept talking about this series that I'm watching. If you really want to take a look at history, go watch this doggone thing. And it starts off, like I said, warlords of World War II, the warlords, and then there's five separate ones, the Cold War. And when they get into all the spy versus spy, you know, people being accused of being communist or people being accused on the Russian side of being spies back and forth, there were people executed, there were people arrested, all kinds of stuff going on, and there was so much manipulation trying to get us into certain wars and conflicts, it'll blow your doors off when you listen to it. But that's why I said, is this going to be World War forever? Is this what where we're heading? Even though we're not out there on the battlefield, like I mentioned earlier, you know, like the major war, like World War I and World War II, where you had these big major conflicts, we ain't to that extent on World War III yet. But we are at a world war right now because we got people mixing other cultures that aren't going to assimilate. They're going to come in and do whatever they want to make it the way that they want. And so it's not going to be a peaceful resolution. You know, and you got people fighting over red team versus the blue team versus the social justice versus this and that. And all these different little talking points that you hear on the liberal side and even on the Republican side, the conservative side. But right now, I'm more on the conservative side of the fence because they're saying we need to use common sense, we need to follow the Constitution, and we need to do the government like it was supposed to be done and protect people's rights. You know, but
well, here, I think we're looking at it the wrong way. I think that we're looking at it. You said something, and when you were talking, you said, is this what we want? Is this what we want? War? Who in their right mind would stand up and say, "Yeah, I want war"? except for some extremist.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the deal: is that where does the onus fall again? If we continue to allow them to push this agenda, the media to push the agenda, the government to back it up with their laws and their regulations, what you can say, what you can't say, where you can go, where you can't go. If we allow this, then yeah, that's what we wanted.
Well, I think
what we need to do is we need to have a change of mindset. We need to start thinking in terms of coming together, of unifying to bring it around.
Yep.
The people have to do this. The people are the ones that are enacting all of this. So the people have to be the ones to stop enacting all of this. How do we get that to happen? How do we get these divisions to go away? That's the thing that we need to concentrate on, because if we don't, then there's nothing we're going to be able to do, because we cannot fight a media. It's a media. It's not an individual. You can't go up and slap it around and say, hey, wake up.
Well, I like the fact that Trump has no problem as the president calling them liars when they're lying. So the people need to be able to recognize when somebody's lying to them and don't let them, you know, get by with it. The system, people. Yeah, that's it. The system is lying to you. You need to stand up against that lie and point it out. Let everybody else know, look, there's the facts. You can see it right there. There's the lie right there. You saw it. Yeah, that, enough said. You see what I mean?
So if people realize that, hey, you don't have to like me, it's okay. If people realize that you don't have to do what I do, it's okay. If people realize that you don't have to live your life the way I want you to live your life, that you can actually live your life, you want to dress in a tutu? Fine. Go ahead, do it. You want to go up and be a snake oil salesman?
But
you go ahead and you do it.
You got to remember though, if you're walking around in a tutu and you're a man, I come from a generation to where that wasn't like the normal thing. So if I chuckle at you, it's not because I'm trying to be.
That's right. It's what I'm saying. Cause and effect. Cause and effect. It's what used to govern the way of life. If you wanted to do something harmful to someone and you did it, the people themselves, they judged you. They turned their back on you. You were ostracized. You were called out. And you weren't as willing to do that same behavior.
That's right?
This is where we need to be. We need to realize that we have a right to act out however we want to, but there are consequences. And those consequences come from the society that you're living in. If you live in California and you dress in a pink tutu, people are going to cheer. Fine. You're in California. They like that. Come to Texas and try that, and they're going to, you know?
I just
That's
saw
what
a
I'm
visual.
Saying.
You will be politically incorrect.
I just saw a visual.
Drag down the street.
When she said that, I just saw a visual. It's a big old Texan saying, what's wrong with you, boy?
We have to stop. We have to get thick-skinned and realize, you know, that I am responsible for the things I do and say, and I have every right to say and do those things until they act on someone else, or I realize that I'm the laughing stock, and maybe I should change the way I do things.
Well,
maybe I should wear my pink tutu in California. You know, or maybe I should wear my pink tutu at the club down the street where they appreciate it. You know?
Well, common sense, critical thinking is out the window. They want to antagonize people. That's what they do.
I personally don't care.
The point is, there's that faction that wants to antagonize and rile people up and get them angry and hateful and fighting each other, and that's where we are today.
But here's the thing.
You know, when I was younger, I used to sit at the mall while my kids were going through the mall, And at that time, it was when the people had the Mohawks that were purple and pink and they wore the rainbow bright outfits and everything. I would sit there and I would watch these people coming in and out of the mall, and it was a show for me. You know, I would laugh and I would giggle at this one or that one, and I'd say, whoa, look at that, you know. And I would be amused. Today, I would be arrested for that, you know.
Well,
but I've got a right to find humor. I've got a right to find silliness and idiocy wherever I see it.
On one hand, when they're talking about free speech, they're talking about, if you don't like what I'm saying, you can always just change the channel. We got wide variety of all that. But then when it comes down to the point where, you know, as a social justice warrior or whatever, you don't run up into, let's say, a Baptist church with a doggone t-shirt that says praise Satan and all that kind of stuff and start creating a ruckus, because you already know you're going to get a different response. You're just agitating at that point. You see what I'm saying? If you didn't like it, you should just not even walk into the church, just not even socialize with those people, and go back
exactly.
your life. But that's not what people are wanting to do these days. They're wanting to go around and force their agenda and their beliefs on other people, and if they get what it is that they really think they want, I don't think they're going to be as happy as they think they're going to be. Because if they get all these people coming in and for some reason Sharia law is the new law of the land, well, you think they're going to fare very well? You think they can run up there and start saying the things that they do now? There ain't going to be no freedom of speech. I mean, if Christians are killed over in this land because they got a different faith than the other group or whatever, if you are the so-called infidel, you know, does the radical Islam, do they have a lot of gay pride, or is that something that they frown upon? You see what I'm saying? And their payments for you not conforming, you know, they're usually pretty harsh.
Well, I think judgments, judging others gives people some sort of sick power, you know, where they believe that they're rightful, you know, when they judge others, but you have this judgment of others over the top.
That's it.
People are taking things.
Well, you've got universities that are teaching kids. You have every right to be gay. You have every right to have somebody call you whatever pronoun you want to be called. And people are different. Let's face it. There are people who want to be who want to dress in pink tutus. There are people who don't want to dress in pink tutus. Neither one of them are right or wrong. They're just people.
But am I wrong in saying that I was always under the impression that college was to go get an education for a trade, or, you know, learn how to be like a teacher or something? Something that's going to be beneficial in life, not some sort of indoctrination center where they tell you, you know, you got to go
exactly.
and force these beliefs on people, these ideologies. You know?
But that's what the education systems have always been. It's always been indoctrination systems. If you go back and you look, even when we were in school, it was an indoctrination system.
Yeah.
It taught you how to interact in society. You know? During our time coming up, though, we were in a time of rebellion as to the system. We were, for some reason, I don't know what happened, we were aware of the system, and we said, you know, go and you know what yourself.
Yep.
You know, today it's totally different. Today the people are acquiescing to the system and saying, please tell me what I am and how I need to go about being that.
That's it. They're using the authority against their own neighbors. That's it. To get their way. Yeah, I'm selfish. I want it here and I want it now. I want to get my way, so I'm going to call the cops on you. You know? Instead, what happened to the peaceful resolution where you go talk it out with your neighbor and come to a compromise or something like that?
Or when the police came and said, you're complaining about this person playing this music and it's daylight? No, I can't do nothing about that, dude.
Yeah.
You know, you're complaining about this person because they stood out in their yard quoting scripture and to everybody on the street. That's their property. They got a right to do that.
Yep.
You know? No, we don't do that anymore. But no, we don't do that anymore.
If you're driving down a road blasting your music and they pull you over and write you a ticket for excessive noise, but hey, it's darn broad daylight, right?
Right. Now it becomes 11 o'clock at night and they're going to come and they're going to make you shut it down.
I saw this a while back. I don't know if you remember this. Somebody was stopped at a gas station getting gas, and some young people pulled up in in their car, and they had their radio blasting. And the guy that was getting gas told them to turn their radio down, and they didn't, of course. And, of course, he pulled out a gun and shot the driver of the car, a bunch of young people, because they wouldn't turn their music down.
Dang. That's overkill there, quite literally.
This is what we allow. This is what we are allowing.
Well,
this is, you know, we listen to the media, and the people are listening to the 5-minute blurbs that are telling them that the world is this way and the world is that way, and they walk out their house and they don't see that world. The world that the media was telling them about. They see their neighbor mowing his yard. They see the kids across the street swinging on the swings. That's not what the world that the media is telling them that we're living in.
Let me ask you a question.
Because that's really not the world we're living in. Those are small little sections that they're espousing, that they're expounding on to make you think that.
Yep.
We gotta start thinking about this and saying, wait a minute. This is not the average. This is not the norm. I'm still able to talk to my neighbor mowing his yard, and I can still send my kids over to play in the yard next door. You know, we've got to start seeing this for what it is. It's propaganda. It's lies.
Yep. You know, let me ask you ladies a question. There's a an old term called the Wild West. Do you remember hearing about the Wild West?
Are we going into Mandela Effect? Because I remember the Wild, Wild West.
Well, yeah, that too. But anyway, you know, there was a time in history, I would say 1800s or somewhere around about, that everybody carried around guns who wanted to carry around guns. It was like everybody had a gun, right? And, you know, suddenly at some point with all the shootouts in the street, you know, somebody finally realized, you know, certain towns started saying, you know, we're not going to allow you to have guns, and so you can't have guns, you know, can't be carrying around guns, or when you come in, you got to take your gun off and leave it at the door or something like that. Have you noticed that it seems like we're actually coming back around to a Wild West style deal? And that, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to start a gun control debate, because we do have the Second Amendment, and it's a good idea. But I'm thinking, when I'm watching this whole deal play out, I'm thinking, like, you know, problem, reaction, solution kind of thing. You know, start arming people up, getting them all nervous and getting them all rowdy about, you know, being in danger all the time. And next thing you know, you end up with shootouts at the OK Corral out in your neighborhood or whatever. And then now you got to, like, well, see, that we let everybody have guns. Look how it turned out. It's like the Wild, Wild West, you know. So we got to get gun control going. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes when you get what you think you wanted, it backfires. And this is how smart these people are on the other side of the doggone spectrum, the ones out there manipulating and getting you to fight each other for whatever political talking point that they can dish out, or whatever color somebody might be, or whatever, calling you all these different keywords, racist labels and all that kind of stuff. The folks behind the scenes have had a lot of freaking experience manipulating people for many, many generations. And they're very patient in their agenda. This is why I tell everybody they got to be on the alert. They got to be aware before you go out there and start freaking out over everything. Make sure you do some research and make sure you know for a fact what's really going on before anything goes down, because this is what they're planning. Get
you
fighting.
Well, there's another aspect that we're not looking at too. There's another aspect, and we have a lot of people who are being made unstable by medications and such, our young children that are in grade school, who are starting out drug-induced by the state, that by the time they get to be 18, 19 years old, their cognitive functions have been so depleted that they are incapable of thinking critically. And these are the people that we see running amok.
Well, not only that, if they get to a certain age and they're financially on their own and they can't afford them drugs anymore, you see where I'm going with that?
Well, yeah, they become addicts, because once you're on these drugs as a child, through your formative years, through your cognitive building years, your critical thinking years, and then you turn 18 and you're dropped off of this, 17, 18 years old, and you're dropped off of these drugs, that's a withdrawal that you can't handle. So, of course, they're going to seek other means and other ways. If they can't get a prescription from the pharmacist, from their doctor, then they're going to go to the streets, and they're going to get those mind-altering drugs. This is a travesty, and our health system should be held accountable for that. Our school systems should be held accountable for that. That is pushing drugs on children. That is criminal.
Well, they need they need more fathers like me, because I flat out told my wife years ago, whenever they tried to put my son on Ritalin because he was kind of being on the ornery side, and they basically had him diagnosed as attention deficit or whatever, something that I knew for a fact my son wasn't. I flat out told my wife, I said, if you allow them to put my son on that drug, I said, I'll flat out divorce you, and I'm not tolerating it, because I know what these drugs do. And maybe that wasn't a nice thing for me to say, but I flat out meant it. I wasn't about to allow no doctor to be putting my son on those types of medications. All he needed was a little extra attention, which he got. Dad stepped up his game and become a better dad. And I stuck with him, and he worked his way through all that, being rowdy and school stuff. But, proper discipline, I didn't beat my child or anything like that. I was a father to my child. And that's what most of these children don't have, is a real father and a real family. And that's why they're acting out the way they're doing. And some of them, it ain't because they're attention deficit. Some of them are just so incredibly brilliant, they're bored in school. You see what I mean? There's other things, other factors to take in consideration. Maybe the kid ain't needing medicine. Maybe he just needs a little bit of discipline or some love. That's what the kids need.
Well, and the school structure has changed. It used to be where there was an hour of gym that kids were able to run around. The kids were able to exercise their bodies as well as their minds. There was recesses. There were different archery, things like this. All of these things are being cut out of school now.
Yeah.
So you have a child being forced to sit in a chair
for hours.
6 to 7 hours a day. Yeah. And you're saying, well, I don't understand why this kid is getting rambunctious. I don't understand why this kid can't pay attention. And then you've got things like what's the new math? What's it called? Common Core?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Give me a freaking break. The lunatic who ever come out with this, I would love to sit across the table from him. I really would.
Yeah.
Because this is insane.
And they're not...
They don't teach children to problem solve. They teach children, you do it this way.
That's what I was getting ready to say, but you said it a little bit differently. They don't teach them to be able to be free thinkers and ask questions and that. They just memorize, and that's it. You remember what we told you, this is the truth. So you don't have the... back when I was in school, I think the reason why I got a fairly decent education back in the day was because I was actually allowed to ask questions, and even when I wasn't allowed to ask questions, if I heard the teacher say something that just made absolutely no sense scientifically or whatever, I'd ask them about it. I pose the tough questions to my teachers, and they're like, well, I'm not sure about that. I'll have to look into that. That's a good question, you know, but they don't encourage that anymore. You see what I mean?
That's one thing that we can't overlook is the environmental impact on our cognitive abilities of critical thinking, and also just one, fluoride.
Yep.
Okay, fluoride, it has negative cognitive effects. So studies examine the effects of fluoride on human intelligence. The results should motivate anyone to minimize their fluoride exposure. One observation is that fluoride negatively impacts children's neural development. Another is that children living in high fluoridated areas have up to 5 times greater chance of developing a low IQ. So, you know, you have all these environmental effects, which is, you know, deliberately put upon all of us. It's not just children that are being affected by this, you know, fluoride and various other things, poisons in the food, you know, coloring and additives. And I mean, across the board, you have these types of things that are really affecting our ability for critical thinking and awareness and to be alert and connected. They're dumbing down our kids, you know, neural development. They're impacting the kids' neural development, affecting their IQ.
Yep.
You know?
Do you know, years ago, they used to actually put excess nicotine in cigarettes so that if somebody did pick up a pack of smokes, there's a real high likelihood that they would get addicted to it. And
yep.
Eventually, they supposedly made them stop doing that. And so now, you know, it's all about, you know, no smoking and stuff like that, but yet it's still, you know, still a promoted thing. And even...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say you also have the iPhones and various other things that the kids are glued to these days, which is, you know, these are young children, young people, and they're addicted to this technology.
Oh, yeah.
And so you take that cell phone away from them or whatever when they go to school for hours and hours and hours, and they're torn away from the addictive, you know, joy stream that they get, whatever it is, that connectedness.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many things here that affect children in school deliberately, and then the idea, I feel, is to target these children for ADD and ADHD or disruptive kids so that they can get them on drugs. And once you put a child, an 8-year-old child, and mostly boys are subjected to this diagnosis, by the way, of ADD and ADHD, there's a high percentage of boys. It's very questionable.
Yeah.
And also fluoride affects his fertility. You know, it affects an enormous amount of stuff. You know, what is supposedly needed and natural for us. But you have these other varying levels, where I think their whole ploy, the whole agenda, is to drug the children, to drug a high percentage of the children. Once you get on one of those drugs, it's supposed to calm you down so you can focus, because that's the issue. These children cannot focus. They become disruptive and antsy, and they can't sit still. Well, so they want them dumbed down, sitting quietly and focused. You know, but once you get on one of them, well, there's side effects, we know, to those drugs.
Yeah.
To that one pill are numerous side effects. So then the parent takes the child back to the doctor who prescribed those drugs, by the way, without even questioning anything else about the child's food, about the household, what's going on in the household? Are you a broken family? You know, are you divorced or whatever? Nothing about that. It's just, here's the prescription. Give this to your child. Well, now the mother or father takes the child back because the child can't sleep, or he suddenly become very overweight because he's voraciously hungry due to those drugs, or he's angry, or he's violent. Now he's becoming violent, or he's suicidal. These are side effects. So then they give him another drug.
Yeah, but who do you think...
I have another one for you.
Who do you think's breaking these families up and getting these families to be the way... You know, if this kid's acting out because he's coming from a broken home and he's acting out, and they diagnose him with this deal just to get him on drugs, who's breaking up the families to begin with? look at all the different cultures and their communities and how it's basically made out to be where it's okay to be a single parent and all that, you know, don't stick with your significant other because you can get more food stamps.
Well, it's easier to get a divorce these days, you know, I mean, there's no real commitment. So you have to keep backtracking. So you have one issue we're talking about. Well, then you have to step back and look at the one that perpetrated that particular issue. Mm-hmm. Then you step back further and you look at the bigger picture and the other issues that have perpetrated all these so-called behaviors and patterns that people are now subjected to.
Yep.
You know? So it's a big, it's a huge monster.
I got an idea.
What?
What if we, like, designed some t-shirts that said something like, caution, politically incorrect person, keep your distance.
Exactly.
I'd wear it.
You know?
I'd wear it.
I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about it.
Well, you know? Yeah, politically incorrect.
And if you encroach upon my safe space,
yeah,
I'm going to be politically correct on your butt.
Yep.
Just saying.
So you have this, what our children from infancy are being subjected to that is really, you know, creating and manifesting these diseases. I mean, the fluoride affects, do you know that fluoride calcifies your pineal gland? I mean, how important is the pineal gland? I mean, that's how important is every organ, but, you know, so this is what we're dealing with, and so they're drugging up these kids, you know, and we're having a whole generation here, basically, of dumbed it down, their effect of the low IQs due to fluoride and their sicknesses and illnesses. What's going to be going on, you know, plus they're all glued, you know, these young people are glued to their iPhones and they can't even put them down. We have adults the same way. They can't even go to sleep without that whatever next to their head.
Oh yeah,
or
glued
to their body.
Walk through a store or even in your own family and look around. Just sit there and just observe people. Everybody's on a doggone text and stuff.
You have mother and father on theirs. You have the rest of the kids on theirs. What's the baby doing?
Yeah.
The baby doesn't have one yet, doesn't have one, but what's the baby doing? What's happening to that baby in the family? You know, I mean, this is the intrusive factor here on relationship and connectedness and care, you know, and alertness and being aware of what's going on with your child.
Yep, that's the thing. And that's probably, you know, I think it's a planned event. I think that's the reason why these drug companies know if the more people they can get on drugs. Did you know that we got a prison system that is a for-profit prison system nowadays? So the more people you can keep in jail, the more money you get, be it subsidies from the government, be it, you know, fines and all this kind of stuff. So there's actually people that go out there and invest in prisons so that they can, as long as they can keep the beds full, then they can make money. It's the same thing with the
drug industry. Not only that, there's a contract that they do with the state that the state is required to provide a certain occupancy for each prison.
Yeah.
So they have to provide criminals to that prison system, or else they have to pay extra.
They lose
to
their
that
funds.
System.
Yeah.
So what if the judge is getting kickbacks on everything he fines you for? The judge might not be as honest as you think he was supposed to. You wouldn't mind that get a fair trial. It used to be
you think so?
You could get a you're gonna buy his jacuzzi every time you go to court.
I'm shocked, actually. I'm so shocked.
Ah.
I'm shocked.
Well, you know, I got
a conspiracy nutcase. That's all. You're a wackadoo.
Yeah, but
I'm only saying.
I'm just looking at the big picture. How do I know I can trust the lawman? Especially, you know, being used to be a lawman back in the day, and I've seen some shady dealings. You know, when there's people that are willing to basically hide evidence, plant evidence, and commit crimes that anyone else would have went to jail for. You know, if you got that, you know, look,
okay.
I gotta tell you this. I got out of jury duty one time, and this is how I got out of jury duty. I went there, and the judge, prosecutor, or whatever, asked me, said, Could you find a person guilty beyond a reasonable doubt if the evidence showed, you know, that it was beyond a reasonable doubt? And I looked at him, and I looked over to the judge, and I said, Your Honor, I said, I have developed a skepticism against the executive branch of government. So with that said, the evidence would have to be beyond a shadow of a doubt. And you should have saw the judge's jaw dropped, and there was 30 cops sitting right next to me when I said it. They're the executive branch of government. I heard gasp. I heard somebody in the back of the courtroom bust out laughing because they realized what I just said. I don't trust the cops. So the evidence is going to have to be beyond a shadow of a doubt. The defense attorney wrote my name down. Oh, I want him on my jury. The other one wrote my name out, you know.
And I got out of jury duty because I said I cannot put my hand on that box.
Well,
because I think it's a bunch of lies. Because I'm a
traditionalist.
So I said I'd be perjuring myself.
Well, I flat out told him I didn't trust the cops.
Well, here's the thing. Where are we? We're talking about a whole bunch of wackadoodle stuff.
But it's all piled in the same dang thing going all the way back. You know?
Well, what we're talking about is a contrived, manipulated agenda that's been going on for decades and decades, and probably from the beginning, as we've been figuring out that there are factions at work here that people can't even comprehend or imagine, and they don't want to, pretty much, you know. Most of the people, majority of the people, you know, well, those listening to us, thank you for listening, because I feel, well, you're all here pretty much on the same page with us, you know, which is really nice. But there are a lot of population out there who have no clue and are not interested in what is really going on. They're just going around along their little, you know, in their groove of life, trying to survive or trying to become famous or successful or a star or whatever. Or just, yeah, some get just trying to eat, you know. So the point is that where are we today, where we are today, where some of us are becoming more aware and awake of where we are today, we're coming to a cumulative point here of some huge bomb, and you know, maybe an actual bomb, but a huge something is coming. We've reached a pinnacle point. We can no longer continue in the manner that we have been. People are imploding, and that's one reason why we can't continue, because they've reached their pinnacle point. They've reached the point, you know, some of them of no return.
That's
and they might not even be able to identify what it is that has pushed them this far.
That's why,
you know,
I think
drank the Kool-Aid.
I think, yeah, they drank the Kool-Aid, and I think those of us who are talking like this, we have identified over and over again what it is, what that Kool-Aid is.
That's why I think we need to stay consistent in our message, just like we've been for all these years. Look how many years we've been doing the Knights of the Round Table, and we've always been consistent in our message and putting every bit of research we put out there on the table. And we don't tell people, you got to up and believe what we're saying. We want people to go out there and look for it. You see what I mean?
Well, we're planting seeds, you know, as a seed planter. I call us seed planters. We're not demanding or commanding that you, you know, that the seed that we're planting here, that you take it and run with it. You know, a seed planter just plants the seed, gives the information after doing a lot of really important research and factual things, finding that, planting the seed, and then we walk away, basically. It's like, I'm not demanding or commanding that you believe anything that I say.
Yep.
That's not what we're here for. You know, we're here sharing some awesome stuff and some disturbing things that we've discovered and are outlining it. But basically, I think that the crucial point I see where we are now, and we've talked about this before, and I always have to come to this, is we are really in a battle. It's a personal spiritual battle. There's a collective battle of the dark and light, the positive, negative, and all, whatever you want to call it. And we are at a point now at a crossroads. We're still at that crossroads because things are still unfolding, but we're reaching the point where it is going to be done. It is. It's going to be done. You can't stay in a crossroads forever. What has been rolling along like that wave or that raging river is rolling and rolling and rolling, and it's hitting a pinnacle point, a huge point right now, where you've got to make a determination. You've got to choose something here. You can't stay on the fence forever. You can't stay with one foot here and one foot there.
There's good news, though, sis. I mean, with us and other people like us across the internet and in the towns and cities across these countries, we can't ever singly say it's the U.S. because it's worldwide. But here's the thing, is that we have been opening dialogue. We have been, instead of yelling at each other, we've been talking, and people are starting to talk to each other, and they are seeing the way. We've got the walk away, movement that is really taking root. People are realizing, So it's to us, the people. This is our power. It has always been our power. It's the way we go about it. We have got to be inclusive. Just because that person over there has got this fanatical way of looking at life, saying to you, you don't have a right to be, but I have a right to be. If we yell at each other, we've lost that dialogue.
Exactly.
If we keep talking, people are going to start thinking. Sooner or later, it gets in there. There's always going to be these little factions that just, they're going to be the way they are, and they're not going to listen to a word you say. But we're seeing that, on average, the individual is turning around, is starting to say, wait a minute, this doesn't really make sense.
Exactly. That's very true, and that is the good news. The good news is that, yeah, there is that awakening, that great awakening. Talk about that river. All over the world, people are waking up, and people are connecting and communicating thanks to the technology, for sure. But there's something in the ethers here as well, you know. I mean, we know the power of words, we know the power of thought and various things along those lines that affect the whole. So you have a faction here now that is moving in a direction of awakening and being more alert and attuned in, getting it like they've never gotten it before. And that has a frequency, that has an energy that is rolling,
yes.
that is in flux, is movement right now. It's pretty powerful. I mean, so we're looking at that side too. We're looking at that, you know, and that's I say always, we're in an awesome time. We are in an extraordinary time. And it always goes back to us, the people, and we always say that, right, sis?
Yeah, because it's the truth. Nothing changes until we, the people, change. That's the key to everything. They can tell you whatever they want on the media. The government can pass as many laws as they want to try and coerce you to be in their little box. But it's always up to you. The people are the power. Always have been. We just lost sight of that somewhere along the way.
Well, I don't know if we've lost sight of it. We were manipulated out of that awareness, that knowledge, that connectedness. But now it's turning around, and so we have people in other parts of the world who are waking up because they are getting the fact that we are getting the fact that our government has been corrupted and manipulated and lies and so on, our history. So other people in the world, they're waking up to the fact that, wait, their government, their history, their stories have all been manipulated and they've been lied to.
Yep.
So this is an obvious wave that we are, you know, recognizing today what is happening.
Well, also, you know, my scales of justice say that I shouldn't be, you know, basically punished for the sins of my father. And I'm trying to explain this to you the best way I can is that, you know, because some white man might have been a racist doesn't mean that all white men are racist and so on down the line. So, you know, whatever might have been done in the past, you know, as long as I'm not walking that path and I'm not trying to hurt those people, I wouldn't have been involved. The type of spirit that I am, if I would have been back in those days, I would have been one that would be trying to help the oppressed. You know, I wouldn't have been one of the oppressors. It's just the type of being that I feel like I am. But the situation that's going on nowadays with the social justice and all these different things is that you're guilty just because of the color of what you are. Just because, well, you know, they keep saying white privilege and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I don't feel so privileged. I mean, I feel blessed, if that's okay. But, you know, that's because it seems like my life, I've had things provided for me.
Well, that's only a small faction. See, this is what, I don't want to focus on that anymore.
Yeah.
And you can only be held accountable for your ancestors' actions if you still continue those actions.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. You know,
I think we, again, we spoke about this before in a show. We have to be very careful. We, the ones here who are right now talking on this show, well, I'm not telling you what you have to do, but I'm choosing, and we've talked about this before, we do go down these avenues where we talk about the bad stuff and the creepy stuff and all that. We do, but we have to turn around now and go down that other pathway, because we have to recognize the power of our words. Let's not feed. We identify. We need the knowledge is power. We identify the mess up, the stuff that is messy, and the stuff that needs to be observed and looked at from a distance, not to attach to it.
Yeah.
And then we have to now advocate for our vision and our visions, our dreams, what it is that we really truly want, because our words manifest that.
Yeah.
If we are focusing and just continually focused on the negative and the scary and the fearful stuff and the mixed up, you know, stupid stuff, okay, we're part of adding to that. I don't want to add to that.
Well, my purpose for saying that, and I understand what you're saying, but my purpose for saying that was hopefully would land on some ears. Because I don't think even these social justice warrior people, well, I don't think they're necessarily stupid, maybe ill-informed or something like that. But if they could hear my side of the perspective where I'm saying, I don't want to hurt nobody, you know, but I don't feel like the justice...
Well, I think the majority of these people are very lost and confused.
Yeah.
Like, we could be there. We could be there.
Yeah.
We could be there. We are tempted to be there, okay? So I want to always advocate the fact that we are co-creators manifesting something according to what we believe in and focus on and discuss, and our emotions are part of that as well. You know what I'm saying? So so that's why I want to say that we have to be very careful, because I discovered this. This was a light bulb moment. I discovered this along with Patty and I. We were having a deep, deep conversation about a vision, a dream vision that was given to me. And it was pretty powerful. And I realized that in our way, we are truthers, we are conspiracy realists, we are researchers, and we are those who actually can conclude from a lot of research and a lot of investigation and determining and using our discerning tool, our truth meter, facts. Okay, so, but when we identify certain facts, okay, or what is really going on in the world, we also are feeding it energetically. We have to be careful of that.
Yeah.
Always, so I came to conclude that the way we have been trained, basically, is, I'm going to say those who have hope, or those who are hopeful, or those who have hope. There's two different things here. Okay, I feel. If you have hope, okay, it's solid. If you are hopeful, it's not so solid. Do you see the difference?
Yeah.
In those words. Now, if you believe in peace and you dream of peace, you must hold that frequency and that energy and be very careful of an intrusive, opposing message that will say, well, that will never happen.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is where we are today, is understanding the power of word, the frequency and the energy of words and our thoughts and our beliefs. So we may very well oftentimes not know it, but that we are basically corrupting our dream vision of peace and love and harmony in the world. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. I'm right there. That's why,
so
this is like a balancing act. I said this is like a balancing act when we're out here trying to share a message with them and telling, you know, all these different researches that we went through. We do got to watch what we say, because, you know, first off, we're not trying to be offensive to nobody, but also in the same sense, we want to put hope out there as opposed to disparity, if that makes any sense.
We want to clarify what we're up against, okay?
Yeah.
We want to clarify and share the absurdity of the issues that we are dealing with, and the dark, sometimes the level of darkness and even evil that we are dealing with. But we do not want to feed that. We want to also feed and nurture and plant the seed of the power of the positive, okay, and the power of light and the power of love and the power of peace.
That's why I believe that.
Well, there's another thing, too, that I want to add with that, is that discernment is key. If what I say to you causes offense to you, if you find that something that I'm saying is offensive, look at it. Look at it critically and find out what caused that offense. Did you somehow equate yourself to the statement that I made? And if you did, and the statement that I made was true, then perhaps you need to step back and take a look at it critically and see what that means in your life. If then you are still offended by what I said, then walk away.
Yeah.
Don't listen to me anymore. Don't pay attention to me. But if what I said somehow brings a meaning to you of truth, that it somehow clarifies to you what your solutions are and what your empowerment is, then go with it.
Yep.
And you don't have to agree with me. What I'm saying is my truth, and I am opening dialogue to you. If I am causing offense, it's not my intent, and it's not Barbara's intent, you know, and it's not Shaziz's intent, and Barbara's right. You know, we handle some rough subjects, and we come at it from our truth. We sometimes worry about how people will take what we're going to say. But the truth that we hold is important to us. So we're not going to make it what it's not.
And we all believe that there are solutions to every problem out there.
Yes.
So,
and at the end of every show, we always bring the people together.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, folks.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you said something important, very important, sis, because it is, I noticed today that people are getting overly offended about persons, and they delete people. There's no dialogue, there's no communication, okay? There's like people take, I guess we could use the term, well, they're taking it too personally, or they're taking it so personally that they're not looking at, why am I taking this personally? Like you just said, you know, questioning, okay, what is my part in this? Okay, why am I jumping on this person and I'm taking this so personally? But there's no dialogue. Today, people easily get offended and jump on that person, attack that person, or delete that person. So there's no dialogue. There's no communication of resolving any communication at all. Whether it's a miscommunication, a misunderstanding, or a different perspective, which we all have, there's no dialogue. Absolutely. Yep. Seems to be gone out the window.
Well, folks, it's that time again. The question was, world war forever? Question mark. I don't choose world war forever. I choose to try to keep on being that positive pebble in the pond. And so, Barbara said she got to get up out of here on top of the hour, so we could go around the table if you don't mind. We'll let Barbara go first today, Patty.
Well, thank you. Always again, I love being here with you. I love to see the people in the chat joining us and, you know, giving us their perceptions and input, and absolutely everyone's welcome to that. I think more and more we're learning, because we've recently had some pretty intense rabbit hole dialogues, and we have some different perspectives, and that's okay. But we move through them. And I know in our culture, in the indigenous way, and it still goes on today in some, where the people will sit together for however long it takes and listen to each other's perspectives. Everyone has an opportunity to share their perspective, and their ideas until they'll stay there or keep or take a break, return, whatever, how long it takes, days, weeks, whatever, until all people present feel heard and understood, and they all together come to a resolved, how to resolve the circumstance, rather than walk away from each other and continue that divisiveness. The goal is to come together in unity as a people. And we have to, basically, I'd say, no matter what it takes to do that. And it's easier to delete someone or walk away and remain holding this energy, much easier for people today, excuse me, than to turn around and come back to the circle and say, okay, let's continue our dialogue. Let's talk. Let's resolve this together. That's all.
Yeah.
That's what I want to say. And I want to thank everyone for being here today, Duksha.
Well, it's always a pleasure. What about you, Patty? You got any words of wisdom?
Well, I just want to say, you know, that when it comes down to it, there can be everything wrong in your life. And you can sit there and you can say, it's because of this, it's because of that law, it's because of what they said here, it's because of what they did there, it's because of that. But if you're just sitting there and you're not standing up and saying, wait a minute, I'm not following this, I want to talk about this, I want to have dialogue. If you instead are throwing stones back at them and saying, hey, you can't say that, you can't do that, then you've defeated yourself. You've kept yourself in this construct that has been created for us. We are the ones who have the power. We've always had the power. We will always have the power. So if things are wrong in your life right now and you want change and you're expecting someone else to make that change for you, then you're defeating yourself. You're more powerful than anything that stands against you. We are individuals, but we are sharing this planet with each other. It doesn't change. Nobody's going to leave this planet. We're all going to still have to live here, generation after generation. Look at where we're at right now and say to yourself, this is what I want. And if you believe that, then stick with it. But if you say, this is not what I want, then don't look for someone else to change it for you. Don't look for some government to make a law that says that you have a right to be who you are, because they're not going to do that. Governments make laws to make you conform. You are the individual. You are the power. You always have been. You always will be. Nothing changes until you change. And if you can't see that every other individual has that same exact right, then you need to sit down and rethink. Because nothing will ever change until we realize that we're all in this together. That we're never, ever, ever going to agree 100%. It won't ever happen. Never gonna happen. But the thing is that as bad as it is right now, it can be changed.
Yep.
In an instant if we all come together and say, look, I don't have to agree with you, but there are certain principles and moral issues that we can come together on. And this is where we have to stick. This is where we can agree. This is where we can move forward. And the rest of it, it'll work itself out.
Yep.
Do not conform. Do not conform. Be an individual. Express yourself and express your power. And we're going to get to where we need to be. It's a beautiful world if we choose it to be. It's just a choice. That's all it is. And it's your choice. And it's my choice. Nobody else can live your life. And you can't live anybody else's life. We have to live here together. That's the bottom line. We can either do it in love and respect, or we can do it in hate and war. Which one works for you? Which one are you willing to carry? That's what it all comes down to. Anyway, I want to remind everybody, too, Shaziz, before we leave, that coming up today at 3 p.m., Jordan Maxwell will be joining Gaz here on People for People Radio. So cool. Please be here. It's going to be an awesome show. And thank you so much, Shaziz. I'm so happy I got to make it today. Well, it's been a while.
It's always a pleasure, and I'm always glad when you show up. You are special, and you're just loved. Folks, just use your power, your spoken word to help your brothers and sisters off the battlefield. You know, just try to spread all the peace, hope, and love that you can, and try to throw the positive pebbles when you can. You know, right at this point in the game, that's the best we can do. You are in your best when you're allowing your light to shine and being who it is that you are. You know, and that's how we're going to fix this world. When you start believing that miracle you're looking for, go take a look in the mirror.
That stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one hand.
Ooh.
One hand.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one hand.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man, sorry.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you. We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed! another giveaway. Do you hear that? Do you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights at the round table, we dance where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights at the round table, our shows are more than table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.